This is Behind the Curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Behind the Curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel, and a voice you don't often hear, but who knows, maybe you'll hear more in the days, weeks to come. She is Sam. She is our intern who we first discovered when Mike Anderson rubbed her feet for the foot rubs for donations for Special Olympics Polar Bear Plunge. And she's since joined us as an intern and told a tale you'll hear coming up about a crazy ex who just plopped down next to her at the bar and wanted to carry on the conversation that she thought was over when Sam told her, "We are done."
Can we just talk about Sam?
Yes, I'd love to.
I like Sam.
Yeah, I do too.
Grow your hair back out.
I don't know what it is about her.
Platonically.
Like her.
Professionally.
I'm attracted to her.
She's got that kind of vibe that I wish like I had more of.
She's upbeat.
Completely at ease. Like even on the air, you'll hear on the air, like she's like when I first was an intern and on the air, I was like
terrified.
Yeah, terrified. My vision collapsed where everything was one dimensional. I was so anxious.
Right. You envision the hundreds of thousands of people listening. You start to freeze up. Your mouth gets dry. She's just Sam at all times. Completely at ease. Completely comfortable with who she is. It's like, wow.
I like Sam. We should give Sam a feature on the show. Now, for those that don't know, because I don't think we've ever really shined much of a light on it, we've moved past from it. Sam is a lesbian. Yeah. Sam has a girlfriend. Yeah. Sam is a member of our show. But she's just as cool as the other side of the pillow, gets offended by nothing, is always down for a joke. She gives it as good as she gets it. I feel like she's just got all the tools necessary if we gave her some feature here on the show. What that is, I don't know.
Yeah.
You'll have to think about that. But yeah, she definitely she deserves more airtime.
We have her review all male gay porn. That's actually a thumbs down with an intern, isn't it?
I think the funniest part about this coming up too is Sam is a very lean and tall. So like, long story short, she runs away from this ex-girlfriend. But I just picture her like galloping through the streets. Just that image to me when she first told this story.
Leaping trash cans. She's Dukes of Hazzarding sliding over the top of a car. Oh, yeah. We should have a competition. Like, who could get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop quicker? You or I. We just place in front of each other and just see how many licks it could take. She's great. She is dealing with an ex thing, and you'll hear about it now. She ran into a crazy ex and had to run on Behind the Curtain. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Mike brought this to our attention. Sound like we're doing better than you are recently.
Well, I'm alive, so that's good. I do want to clarify that this was a very brief fling, apparently just not brief enough.
Mm-hmm. It was, oh, wow.
Yeah, but a couple weeks ago, I think like a Friday, it was the day that I was just going out. It's a beautiful day. Went out for a drink with a friend. On my way there, I got a text from my friend being like, "Hey, so-and-so is here. Is that okay?" And I was like, "It should be fine. Like, I'm an adult. We'll all be good here." So I walk in. I sit next to my friend. I haven't even ordered a drink yet. And she moves glass, everything over next to me.
So-and-so being your ex.
Yes. So-and-so, my ex.
How long ago had you parted ways with this ex?
At that point, it had probably been only a few weeks.
Okay,
still
so this
fresh.
Was fresh.
It was fresh.
Okay, all right.
How long did it go on for? You said it was brief.
Oh, yeah, not long at all. Only like a couple months, a month and a half. And it was not, it was like on and off.
And then the separation was amicable or?
No.
Copy that.
So it was.
I ended that.
Got it.
And got a crazy vibe while you're in it? Like, yo, I need to get at this now because it's going to spiral out of control and she's going to wear my skin.
You know when the friends get alarmed, they start getting scared.
Oh, people start pulling you aside.
Yeah, they were like,
listen.
We don't agree with this.
She's stealing the hair out of your drain and keeping it in a mason jar.
I really hope not. But
so you go to have drinks with just another friend and you're hanging out, you sit down. She sees you from across the bar, picks up her phone, her purse, and her drink and everything, and then sets up shop right next to you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's bonkers.
Yeah, didn't even get to order a drink. She just immediately started talking
hey,
to
Sam.
Me.
Hey, Sam.
Yes,
how's it going?
Hey, can I talk to you for a moment in private?
Who's your friend, Sam?
Oh, who's this?
How's life been?
Didn't know you got a shipment from Whore Island.
Who's this skank?
Well, my friend
is she better than me?
My friend was a guy. So that was in my benefit.
Okay.
But yeah, she immediately just jumps, like, we just rewinded back to the breakup.
And well, she did.
She picked it up right where you left off.
Yeah, it was like the conversation, like, word, she just, like, oops,
so
right
as
down
I
spot.
Was saying.
So what happened between us?
What happened?
So what happened?
What are we?
Am I not good enough for you? What
so
happened,
what
Sam?
What do we do from here?
Did you just move on? Have you moved on already,
Sam?
You're just
on
with your life?
I moved on, yes.
You have? Really? Okay, well, that's fine.
And I was
you know what? Because I have to.
Going to
you
move
know,
on.
I have to.
I have you. I don't
move on, too. Okay? I'm fine. I've moved on. I don't even think about you anymore. Ever.
Ever. Fine.
Like, if you think I think about you, you're wrong.
You're wrong, wrong.
You're wrong.
Wrong, wrong.
Don't even think about you.
I use cigarettes to burn your name into my arm.
Anyway, yes. So, like, I immediately am like, this is not the vibe that I want while I'm trying to enjoy my Friday.
Friday.
So I just kind of nudge my friend. I'm like, listen, like, we can go out and have a drink. You should pay your tab, but I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
like,
let's settle
I can't.
Up. Right.
So I just kind of walk out because I hadn't started a tab. So I'm walking out, and you know when you get the feeling that somebody's, like,
you feel a presence
you?
Behind you. Yeah.
Yes, and mind you, I'm in Towson, so right. The bar I was at was not exactly where my car was, so I had kind of a hike to get to my car. So I'm walking out, I feel someone behind me, and I turn around, and she left her drink, her purse, literally.
She followed you out of
yes,
the bar.
She followed me out of the bar. I'm starting to, like, walk faster. I've got a little bit of speed. So I'm, like, walking
Is
faster.
Is she saying anything?
She's, like, yelling my name behind me. She's like, let's just talk. Let's just talk
That's
for a minute.
That's not talk.
No, so
Is
I start.
Is that not baffling to you that, and everyone's had this, the person that just doesn't. Get it. Nothing about my actions, my words, the fact that I'm power walking like an elderly person in a mall at 6 a.m. away from you. None of this screams, maybe there's a chance.
Have you outwardly expressed exactly how you feel? Like,
oh, yeah.
Could there possibly be any confusion on her part? Or you made it abundantly clear? That-
no, I made it very clear.
Okay.
And I've never, mind you, I feel like I'm a level-headed person, so I've never come across somebody like this before. So I start just running.
No!
I'm like running. I'm jaywalking more than ever. I'm hoping I don't trip. And I make it to my car, though. I finally make it to my car with just enough space that I was able to, like, get in and lock the doors.
She's running after you.
Yes, she was running after me, and I work at Charles Village Pub in Towson. So we pass my place of work, and I'm, like, hoping my coworkers see me so they come out and rescue me.
Did you
me.
Think about, like, ducking in there and going into employees-only area?
I didn't want to be in there with... She would have followed me in right. there at oh, this point, and I didn't want to bring
yeah,
that
yeah,
into
smart
there.
Move, smart
so
move.
I just ran to my car, lock the door, I get in, I start reversing while I hear her screaming at me.
Oh, my
She's,
gosh.
Like, slapping on my window,
Whoa.
Too. Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
What?
I'm dead serious. So
oh,
then I drive
no.
away, but I get stuck at a red light. So she ran after me. And is
Into
at-
the street?
Yes.
What, is she, the T-1000? She's looking for Connor?
I really don't know, but I'm stuck there like, I don't know her, because she's just banging, screaming my name. And people are around me. And finally, like, the light turns green, and I get away. And then I get about 50 billion calls. Block the number, but that was a very alarming experience.
Sam,
for me.
Here's what I'm taking away from this. Here's what I'm taking away from this. All right.
Apparently, Sam's. Yeah, I got it.
Sam, you're bringing that good to the relationship.
I won't deny it.
You're bringing
I won't
that.
Deny
you got
it.
Chicks running down the middle of the street.
Uh-huh. You bring that.
She's in a car, and this chick's running down the middle of the street after Sam.
I'm worth. You know what? It's worth it's running through traffic. To get, oh, yeah. get another taste of that, because Sam was bringing the heat to this relationship.
Damn.
It had to be something, really.
I still haven't washed this futon.
Mm. Oh, no.
So where does it stand now?
Is
that
a little
it?
Bit of that no. and also a little bit of this chick is bonkers.
I mean, we have, yeah, she is. We had some mutual acquaintances, so like I have not seen her since then, thank goodness. So it's been a couple weeks
But has
now.
There been an intermediary who has come to you and said, hey, you know, Mrs. Bonkers Panties says, sorry about that night.
You know,
I chased
not,
you.
It's alarming because she's not as crazy with other people because they don't come to me like, oh, she was whack that day. It was
just you.
Like, oh, yes, yeah, she's manipulating them, mm-hmm. like trying to be real normal and nice and cool.
You're bringing that top shelf product, Sam.
I guess
that's
so.
What you text after that?
I
Nothing.
Got. No, I got a lot of calls.
But you blocked the
number. Yeah, I blocked her after that. And then I got a call from a random number.
Which was definitely
It was her. I got like three of them. Yeah, she used someone else's phone.
Oh, man. She was hitting you up on burners. She was buying prepaid minutes to get a hold of that ass. Oh, well, Sam, I would take that as a... I'm bringing the top shelf cuts. Stace, we ask you, we always love to enjoy our special guest here, and we have advantages, or can take advantage of their presence. Do you have anyone in the distance? You've been married for going on a decade and a half.
Quite a long time.
So you've been in a relationship long, long time. But in your younger years, high school, just out of, early days of college, anybody that was like, nah, we're going to stay together?
I do, actually.
Ooh.
You hear his name? I shouldn't say his name.
Yeah,
don't say.
I don't know if he's around here.
Is it Jim Ross?
No, I'm going to tell you his last name.
Okay, Harbaugh. It's a distinct name that you would definitely. I'm not going to say his first name, but his last name is definitely Flacco.
His last name is Finger.
Oh,
how horrible is that?
I wouldn't even start dating someone.
Anyway, I dated him in
first name's
in high
Creamy.
School. Dated him in high school. For about a year or so, but it was like, you know, young relationship, you know, one of my first long-term
relationships. Right, like I said with Sam, you know, you're still figuring it out.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I, after I dumped him, it was like excessive notes. Like he would drop notes off on my car, my house, notes.
And what
I had like
would they
a
say?
Box of notes.
I miss
like,
you.
Just and creepy.
What did
I remember
wrong?
Making fun of one that said something like, you're like something like you're like a China doll to me. I'm like, what?
What does that mean?
So stupid.
You're like a fanny pack full of snacks.
He wouldn't.
I want to keep you near my weenus and reach for you a lot.
Yeah, he would like show up places.
Hey, what are you doing here? This is my basement, Finger. Oh, okay. Sorry.
I probably have that box of notes somewhere. I should dig that up.
I'm begging you. Couldn't you bring them in Friday?
When I moved last time, I don't know if I pitched
Hell
it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
please
I gotta look at that.
Bring them right. in. Can we read the crazy finger? Crazy finger documents.
Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, yeah.
The finger files.
The finger files.
Nice.
Friday. It's a Friday finger file here on the show. As we read Stacey Lynn's former boyfriend / stalker's finger file notes, that would be amazing.
I get
Thank
what she's
you.
Saying, though, when people don't take no. You're like, no, it's over.
No, it's definitely.
It's good. I'm
she
done.
Filled in
wow.
some of the story off the air just for the safety and decency of those involved. And it was very clear that she's like, we're definitely done.
Wow. Right.
This is over. Because you asked a good question, Scott. Like, was it an ambiguous breakup? Was it a, give me some time to figure it out? No, it was, we're done.
How crystal clear was this? Apparently very clear cut.
Very clear cut.
410-338-1098. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. I was in high school. I had a girl come up to me and say, this is what I do when I know I can't have you. And she pulled up her sleeve and had cut marks on her arm.
Ooh. Oh.
Well, that's not
that
good.
Is
What's sad.
Sad and alarming. And that's a whole lot of things.
I had an ex that I later found out through friends that for months he sat outside my apartment in his car and would cry all night.
Damn.
Ha!
Had an ex who stole my sports gear and said she wouldn't give it back to me until I got back with her.
Whoa. We heard a story yesterday.
Sports gear hostage.
Where I'll keep it very generic, where someone stole someone's car.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That was a tawdry tale. Where was Mike? Were you telling us in the meeting about someone just like...
Oh, yeah.
Showing up all the time?
I had a friend that had a crazy girlfriend. I mean, she was crazy before she became an ex. So he finds somebody new, and they're, you know, at McDonald's having a Big Mac late in the evening.
Where lovers do.
And he looks out in the parking lot and notices somebody sitting in their car, and it happens to be his ex-girlfriend sitting in her car watching them the entire time. So they freak out. Like, let's get out of here. They get in their car. She then chases them down the back roads of Harford County trying to, I don't know, run them off the road. I'm not sure.
Wow. You're going to be with me, Bobby. You're going to be with me forever. Hell. Oh.
And this is just one occasion. Apparently, every time they would leave the house, she was in wait.
Damn. Oh, lying in wait. That's the unwell mind. That's not a mind you can really have a sit down back and forth with, like, hey, I need you to stop making hair and dandruff dolls of me. And I'd really appreciate if you would stop trying to gather my DNA off the side of Coke cans for my recycling bin. Like, if you could just knock that off. Yeah, this is you're dealing with an unwell person. 410-338-1098. Let's go to Shane in Bel Air. Shane, thank you for holding.
Yeah, not a problem, guys. Love the show.
Love you.
Shout
Shane.
Out. What's up?
All right, so I was about 2 years out of high school at a mutual friend's party. My ex shows up out of nowhere. We get into a slight altercation, and she tries to run me over with her truck.
Whoa! Vehicular manslaughter.
Not once, but twice. She tore up our friend's yard, tire marks everywhere. She disappears for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Comes back out of nowhere. I'm sitting there, facing the fire, talking to my buddies, drinking, you know, like every kid should. And I feel a tap on my shoulder, and it's her. She then proceeds to smack me in the face, gets back in her truck, and then leaves again.
Okay.
So she tried to kill you twice with the truck?
I like the little smack at the end. That's a nice touch.
Yeah, just a little.
And then she was done after that?
That was it?
Yeah, that's the last I heard of her that night.
Okay. night.
That night?
Yeah, that night.
That night. I take it there were other subsequent encounters?
I mean, there's things that have happened that I can't prove it's her, but, like, who else would key my truck?
Oh, it was her. It was Deborah. Yeah.
Yes.
It was Denise.
Oh, that sucks.
Miss you. Grinding it right into the sheet metal. Oh, God. I tell you what, Stace, no knock on you, okay? But you white chicks got the crazy locked up, okay? If that was an Olympic sport, the white lady, the white chick, has the excessively drunk way too early and the psycho game locked up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go to Jeff in Towson. Jeff, good morning. Jeffrey.
Hello?
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, so I lived with this girl for about 3 years in college. We broke up. She did all the creepy things that you would expect. Notes on the car, flowers on the car, like, sitting outside my place texting me when she sees people. But this was the kicker right here is I took back my key to my apartment, or what I thought at the time was my key, but I ended up taking the key to her parents' house by accident. So about a couple of weeks later, I guess when she went home, she realized she still had my key because she couldn't get into her parents' house. And I have another girl over there, and we're asleep. It's the middle of the night, and I wake up to her punching the other girl in the face repeatedly. Sleeping. And then I pick her up. I pick her up and I carry her out into the hallway, and all of her friends are in the hallway. I'm butt naked and I put her down and I slam the door. She's banging on the door and she's screaming that she wants her cell phone because I guess she dropped her phone, and she's screaming all sorts of nonsense. Wow. Like, I'm the best thing that ever happened to you. And the police came and, you know, they recommended a restraining order, but I didn't do the restraining order, but yeah, she was a nut job.
Wow, she rolled up with a squad. She had dudes and guys and gals hanging out there waiting for this cat. And I love that, too. This is a Joe Robinson joke. But the woman at the end of the breakup, or whoever, guy or girl, that screams, "You'll never find anyone like me."
Good.
That's
good.
The point. I want to get away from your model. You do not fit me at all. I hope that's the case. Let's go to who else has been hanging here for a bit. Adam in Baltimore. Adam, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hello, Adam.
Hey, all right, so I'll try to make this kind of quick. I was dating this chick shortly after college, and I kind of ghosted her. You know, it's my early 20s. It's what stupid guys do.
Right.
And, you know, I ghosted her, but she knew that I would, you know, frequent, like, the Wharf Rat and other places in Fells Point. So one night, I'm down in the Wharf Rat with probably 20, 25 people, you know, a bunch of, you know, degenerates in Fells Point, punk rockers, et cetera. And she shows up with this huge, like, 6'5", chiseled dude. And she comes up to me. She's like, "Look, we need to talk. You were disrespectful, et cetera, et cetera." And I started laughing at her. I was a little, you know, a little drunk. And she, this guy chimed in, "You need to apologize to her. You need to do this." And I looked at the guy. He was twice my size. And I said, "You know, look around you, guy." I said, "See how these all guys have, like, mohawks, and they're all kind of similar looking?" Kind of, like, nods his head. I said, "That's my brother, that's my friend, this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I know all these people."
Yeah.
"It's in your best interest for you guys to leave."
Whoa.
"You know, I don't want this situation to go bad.
That'd be a Royal Rumble."
So I go to leave, a couple hours later, I go to get my car. I'm like, this seems like it's sitting really, really low.
Oh,
I get out, all four tires are slashed, and it's like November. So the next day, I'm changing the tires in the rain, normal November Baltimore weather. So live and learn.
Damn, you had this
tire
woman
slashed. That's on a level.
Tire slash key, getting a car keyed up. Yeah, that's something. Oh, that's God. Here's another one with one more automotive slant to it. Good morning, John, Baltimore.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
How you doing, bud?
Right.
This is a classic thing.
Right, so I was dating this girl for about 6 years. You know, everybody told me she was crazy, and I didn't listen to them. Moved her into my house, everything. Long story short, she ended up cheating on me. I kicked her out of the house, kicked her to the curb. Flash forward, like, 7 or 8 months later, I'm dating my now current wife. She's pregnant with my now my daughter, and all of a sudden, the brakes gone on my car. She had her new boyfriend cut my brakes when she found out that my new girlfriend was pregnant.
Oh! Cut your brake lines.
Luckily, I was only going, like, 25 miles an hour, and I was close to my house, so I was able to, like, put my car in a neutral and, like, e-brake to my house, but completely destroyed my car.
Whoa.
And, yeah, that's my crazy story.
Not a lot of people will realize that the E in e-brake stands for extremely crazy bitch.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain on a Saturday. Hope to see you out later tonight at that Ravens open practice at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. I'll be there. Scott will be there. Hopefully you will be there. It's free to the public. And if you drive there, take your time. Don't weave through traffic. Had a whole conversation about this yesterday and the people that do it. And I like the first guy that called to admit why he did it. Still wrong, but he owned it. That he did it for the thrill of it, poking death in the chest, feeling that rush of just barely scooting by another vehicle. It's one of the reasons you play like racing video games, like the Burnout series or Need for Speed on PlayStation, is to see how razor thin you could pass by a car. But at least that's with a controller in your hand. This guy's like zipping by people's families.
Let me ask you this, the two of you in the room. What is... In current 2017, August 2017, Michael Anderson is 33. Justin is 38. What is your current most common source of adrenaline rush? Ooh. How do you get it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's the saddest thing.
Well, because I just thought about this kid, right? And he was like... Yeah, I zip through traffic because it's just like you get that rush. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. Like, well, how do we get that rush? I get that rush when I'm in my little car sometimes, like I said. I don't do the weaving. I will not do that. But if I have some open road, I will hammer it and I'll get it up there. Like, and I'll get it up there pretty high. Like on the way to work, maybe I did.
Whoa, damn. Where? Yeah. What road? Yeah.
Right up 83.
You want a great stretch of highway? God, we shouldn't be saying this. Right when 695 breaks off towards Glen Burnie and you're on Route 2 heading to Ritchie Highway, there's an exit that slingshots your ass past to five lanes of road no one's ever out there. I got that new V6 Honda Accord and I'll slap that thing in sport and hit those pedal shifters or paddle shifters.
Does it give you an adrenaline?
Yeah. It gives me a rush. Does it give me an adrenaline rush? I don't know. I do get a sense of, yeah, but I bitch out because as soon as I get to what you just held up numerically, I'm like, ah, and I slow down to 60. I see that thing ping that, and then I go right back down. Never do I maintain that speed.
You know what I love when you, and there's a spot that I always do this at where two lanes come up to a red light. And right ahead, you can see they merge into one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, that's there's always, and I pull up to this one, and there's always some jackass that you could tell is like going to try to jump the gun and get in front of me. I'm like, not today, brother.
Well, it's fair day. It's fair to do. It's fair to do. You don't have right to that. You don't claim rights to that.
Well, if the left lane has a straightaway and the right lane then merges over.
If he gets to the merge point before you, then it's his merge.
If he does.
It is a rush to like.
Is he going
to
beat that 2010 car of the year?
Because they always assume, oh, you know, look, there's a champagne colored 2010 Ford Fusion, he ain't gonna try nothing.
So you're the jackass that will speed up and not let them over.
Right.
So
luckily I have a problem. Yeah, exactly. Well, look,
you're the problem causer.
Stand your ground.
Don't get
Mike.
Me back to this argument, but you're the problem. If a guy's you know, establishing dominance he's clearly making a move for that, maybe you should just yield to him and let him go.
Nope. It's like, I don't know what it
you're
is.
You're the asshole.
You're both assholes.
Yeah.
Look, you do the same thing.
You're both a-hole. I'm the guy on the right that's zipping around you.
I'm the guy that's playing chicken with you on the side. But
let's say you do pull up and somebody comes up behind you and gets over into the right to do that. You're not going to floor it in your S2000?
Yeah, I mean, depends.
Depends on how assertive of a move they make. If it's a good assertive move and they're going for it, I go, hey, I got, you know, got to give them credit.
You ever take the back way to Hard Yacht across the drawbridge into Dundalk?
No.
Man, there is a stretch that goes two lanes over top of the drawbridge on the other side of Hard Yacht. Then on the other side of it, it is a perfect bottleneck where both, it's not a right lane, it's not a left lane thing. It's a whoever gets there first thing. And then it is a half a mile of the flattest, most desolate. Yeah. And when I had that Genesis Coupe, it was my first turbo vehicle ever. I opened that son of a bitch up on there regularly.
Well, Mike, you never answered.
So much fun.
How do you get, do you have adrenaline?
I guess it's that's it, just trying to beat somebody in a merge. But I was just thinking, like, I don't know if I seek that out.
A good pre-workout, maybe?
Typically, that's like a fear response, you know what I mean? There's some sort of
fear
factor
in there. Yeah, but
if
you do it in a setting where you know there's no true danger, like, which I don't know what that is.
Maybe the last time I did anything involved with, like, local pro wrestling. When I was like in the ring, and I know there's no danger, like you said, it's all scripted, but I know that there's about to be some physical maneuvers where I'm going to be being bandied about and tossed to and fro. Yeah, I got that heart pound. I can feel my heart tapping the back of my ribs a little bit. Maybe when I'm getting in there doing like a Shogun announcing, like, all right, here we go. Yeah, I get a little bit of that. I feel that. Well, hey, listen to it now. Some guy got himself his jolly zipping to and fro through traffic as we talked about aggressive weaving on the highway on Behind the Curtain. On. Kids live around here, and most of them are deaf, and one of them is an albino in a wheelchair, which is a Two Taco Tuesday a tragedy if I've ever seen one.
That's not the right sound. You need that Crotch Rocket sound. That,
oh, God.
You're going up. We've all been there. You're on 95.
Mm-hmm.
You're going a reasonable 70 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden...
Ho! Are we being chased?
And that's the motorcycles. But then there's people that do it in the cars, too. And it's like Mike said, you said yesterday in the office, there's only a few things that would justify such behavior. The horrifically dangerous weaving in and out of traffic.
Let's go over some of those scenarios while I find it acceptable. Pregnant wife hospital.
Maybe, but then you're putting her in danger.
Great
with
point.
Your driving.
So if the kid's on his way out, if I see that kid crowning, if I'm looking at forehead, I'm putting the pedal down.
Someone's car is dying.
You have full right to do that.
Yeah, I'm doing a Dukes of Hazzard.
What did you say yesterday? What was yours that would
someone's in your back seat with stab wound dying. But even, right. I was just thinking, but even ambulances don't drive like that.
Right. Yes.
I mean, they're still
They're
prudent.
Also working on the person in the back, so they could buy a little more time.
They got to keep it a little smooth.
What about the impaled penis story earlier?
Whoa, yes. If
impaled
your penis has
might
been,
be wanting to speed a little. Just this week, twice, I've been hitting the Patapsco. Shout out, Patapsco for life, running some trails. And I was heading down 95, and a single guy on a motorcycle. I was convinced in that moment I was going to watch a man die. Because I've never seen anybody. He was going so effing fast. And traffic was moving, right? We were all going like 65, 70, but there was a lot of traffic. It was that a lot of cars, but we're all moving. And there wasn't a lot of space in between cars.
He was threading the needle.
And I mean, going so fast that I was like, and it was around this turn and it kind of went downhill and then up. It was like right down by like 195. And so he was in my view for maybe 5 seconds, 6 seconds as he weaved through. And in those 5 seconds, I thought I was going to watch a man clip the back of a car and just go flying through the air. And then he goes out of vision, and I'm like, okay, he's gone. But then I'm waiting for all the brake lights to come on because he wrecks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In the middle of the road,
and everyone just stops.
And people are going to shamwow this guy up off the asphalt.
So, and I didn't hear anything in the news, so I guess he was okay. Then the other day, driving back up 95, a silver Mercedes comes flying up the left lane, and you talk about thread the needle between two cars. I was convinced he had no room. I go, all right, he's going to have to slam on his brakes and just stop. Nope. He yanks the wheel to the right, threads the needle between these two cars somehow. I go, God. And you're in your car screaming and cringing. Wow. Then he goes all the way up and he's weaving, goes all the way over to the right. I'm like, okay, now he's going to have to slam on his brakes. He's got nowhere to go. Where's he go?
Shoulder!
On the shoulder. No. I swear to God, you see a cloud of dust and he goes around the shoulder and he's gone. I go, I don't get it.
I start to think, is that car stolen?
is that a stolen whip? Especially if you see them ripping through red lights, because I'll see some people in my morning drive.
I do the red light. I don't rip through red lights, but if I'm cutting through the city and I get stopped at a red light
in a sketchy part of town, I'm ripping through a red light.
I'm the only car around for half a mile. I'll stop. I'll look both ways, and I'll slowly proceed through.
Gooch.
I won't rip through a red light, but
yeah. And these people will always, if they get like stuck between, you know, there's like a rolling roadblock, they will then tailgate you.
Oh, yeah.
Within inches before they can find another like hole to slip through.
And what happens? Well, hello there. That when you have that dude, he does that. It's always some dude. He's always in some low profile Subaru BRZ with a spoiler on the thing that could just cut an elephant's head off. It's so large. He does the whole thing, and especially when he's not doing the highway, he does it on like a York Road, a Delaney Valley Road. He rips past you, and you still end up at the same stoplight together.
Yeah.
That does the guy feel like a total ass?
Yeah.
Like you just almost completely murdered yourself in a Dukes of Hazzard like adventure, ripping through cars, and then there you are. You arrived at the exact same destination, waiting for the exact same light that I've arrived
right,
at.
Exactly.
Do you feel like a turd?
We've already got a couple of defenders coming in on the text.
I would like to hear them.
One says, cars move in slow motion on a motorcycle. Okay. Here's what happened. And I swear to God, this is 100% true. I was about to, you know, move a lane over to the right. And I checked my mirror and I glanced over my right shoulder and I see a blur. And it was that guy. I get, you know, you know your capabilities and maybe you can, you know, see the cars, but that doesn't account for the other drivers changing lanes. If you're going to make a move and then all of a sudden somebody changes a lane and they're right where you were going to be, then you're done.
Yeah, you're screwed.
So, I mean, this whole moving in slow motion, I don't know. And then it says, if people would stop driving slow in the left lane, not as many people would weave in and out of traffic. We're talking about the super high rate of speed, like dangerously weaving in and out of traffic.
Yeah, I'm talking about the people that just left Baby Driver and can't help but put the pedal down because they're inspired to be one of the stars of that film.
Right now, though, we're talking about weaving in and out of traffic at high rates of speed. The phone lines are hacked.
Whoa!
Watch out.
Slow down!
Come on! Yeah, you've all been there, up and down 95. You're just cruising along, and it's not just motorcycles; it's cars too. I see a lot of cars.
I'm convinced my dad's favorite hobby when I was growing up, Hamlin Road shout out, was him standing in our front lawn, screaming at any car that did 1 mile per hour over the 10 mile per hour speed limit. If there was a station wagon, minivan, hatchback doing 11 miles per hour, you'd hear my slow down! There's kids inside playing Nintendo. This doesn't affect them, but I'm crotchety. Yeah. Let's go to the phones, man. Let's get right to it. 410-338-1098. Like Scott requested,
line
I would like
two,
to talk.
Line two.
Line two. Let's jump to line two. Talking to people that do it, want to know why. Devin, Baltimore, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You sound like one of the dudes that speeds to me. You
sound like a badass.
I could tell.
Yeah, I kind of am. I'm not a biker, though, a car guy.
Can I take a guess? Your car does have some type of spoiler-like device on it.
It does have a spoiler on it.
We got you pegged, dude.
I'm going to say,
got you pegged.
You're either driving a Nissan, a Subaru, or a Toyota.
Honda.
Toyota Celica.
There we go. There we go. Got that Toyota Celica. What year is that? You got that air intake on the hood?
I do got a Canon air intake. I got a 94 Celica GT modded out to look like a GT4 model.
Damn,
Ken. So why do you do it? I mean, I get opening that thing up on like the quarter mile. You take the thing up to, you know, the raceway that Amelia and I went to. Maybe some back road somewhere where you can open the thing up.
I got a quick little car that I drive around in sometimes. And if I'm on 95 and there's, you know, a nice stretch where there's not a lot of cars, I'll open that bad boy up, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the weaving, where you have to thread the needle and you just have inches of clearance, what's the point?
The point is, honestly, I got to say, it's the thrill.
Yep.
Yeah, adrenaline, thrill, cheating death. We love it, and got to place a little blame on the early Fast and Furious movies for that, too.
At least you're owning it, man. I got to give you that credit.
Don't you worry about, what about, like, hurting other people?
As a car guy, we don't want to hurt other people. We just want the fun and the thrill of speeding.
It happens.
Oh, go on.
No, you go.
No.
Oh, well.
You go.
Yeah, it sucks when it happens. It really does. Like I said, we don't want to hurt people. We just want to have fun. But we, you know, some accidents do happen, and I wish it didn't happen.
I don't know. You need to slow down.
Yeah. Has it ever bit you in the ass at all?
Yeah.
Is it ever, have you ever, like, clipped a rearview mirror or something like that, slammed in the back of someone?
No. I know when I'm going too hard, and I do give it up after a bit.
Gotcha. All right. There he goes.
Text us a picture of your car. I want to see that.
Yeah. Send that in. 410-338-1098. All right, let's go to Mark Kingsville. Mark, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
How you doing, bud?
Hey.
Arrive alive.
I left work from Owings Mills and made it down to about Johns Hopkins Hospital in about 10 minutes because I was going about $1.10, $1.15 the whole way. Now, I wasn't doing it to be a douche. I was just, my dad's in the hospital. And sometimes you just got to rush, you know?
What do you mean? He was in the okay, so your dad's in the hospital. Do you get a phone call saying?
Yeah, admittedly, that's my fault. My sister's a bit too dramatic sometimes, but she was like, "Dad's dying, get here." And I was just like, well, I got to go.
Okay,
maybe you
okay.
get a phone call like that, maybe.
You get some dramatic-ass sister.
Go a little faster
yeah, now her
usual.
Brother's dying also because she can't help but be a damn yeah. drama queen. Dad's in there with a sore throat. Let's go. Oh, Mike, we might hook up with this dude. I've wanted all of us to do this. It's time to hook up with a man. Ryan Millersville, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Ryan.
What do you do, Ryan?
So it's a hobby, but I am a high-performance driving instructor for weekend track events.
That's a hobby? You just kind of do yeah. that as a hobby? You instruct people? You have no formal training yourself?
I do. There's a training process to go through, but it is still, it's all volunteer. It's not a paid thing, not what I do.
Got it. Okay.
Like, what could you teach me? Can you teach me to do that thing where I jack the e-brake and swing that bitch 180 right into a perfectly placed
J-turn?
Like a J-turn, yeah, or like go up on two wheels?
Yeah, well, I don't do the two-wheel thing, but the other stuff you mentioned, yes, all that.
Wow, let's do it. Put them on hold. Mike, we got ourselves a
hire. Do I got to use my own car?
Yeah, can we use all of our own vehicles, or do you give us a vehicle?
As long as it's not a truck or a van, yeah, you can use your own vehicle.
I don't want to use my car. I want to use someone else's.
I want to use Scott's car.
I don't want to break it.
So, yeah, this is a subject that gets me fired up. I hate it when I see it on the road because it's mothers and fathers and daughters and
right.
brothers and sisters out there. But I want to offer a solution. Not a whole lot of people know that there's closed course events where you can do all that stuff and it's safe and it's legal and it's awesome. So there's events called Autocross, and that's the high performance cornering, and it's at FedEx Field with a whole bunch of different car clubs. And then there's the full-on like racetrack events at a road course like Watkins Glen or Summit Point or Virginia International Raceway. And those are a little bit more expensive, but like an autocross for a day will be between like $35 and $50.
Very reasonable.
And you bring your car, you can actually do all that high-performance cornering and, if you want, sliding. But you'd learn quickly that sliding slows you down a lot. So the people that do drifting usually get their butts kicked.
Well, that's all for show. Drifting is just for show.
It is.
What are you driving?
I have a Porsche 911.
Whoa! I'm coming over. I'm coming over this weekend. Get his address. What kind of Porsche 911?
It's a 2008 Carrera S.
Can we ride that?
Yeah, can we?
Yeah, I want to drive it.
It's a lot of fun. I can take you for a ride.
No, I want to drive it.
Oh, you guys got to bring your own cars.
Right, you won't let me drive.
I'm gonna put you on
bastard.
Hold.
Let me drive your car.
Ryan, can we come out there and maybe do a little something with you?
Yeah,
put him on
absolutely.
Hold, put
all right,
on hold.
Done. Hell yeah, we got ourselves a driving instructor. I can't wait. I'm gonna do that thing that cop did in that UK video of him swinging that little hatchback into the parallel parking spot and popping out like a badass. So what's going on here?
Yeah, I want to be able to slide into a parking spot.
Let's talk to Zach in Baltimore. A couple more calls here. Zach, you got yourself a little crotch rocket.
Yes, I do. Morning, guys.
Morning. And you're still alive. Look at you.
Yeah,
look at
you. I'm making it. I've only been down twice. Don't worry.
Poking right. death in the chest. You've been down twice, and you're still doing it.
Well, that's what happens. Yeah. It's not if, it's when, right?
Yeah, usually that's what happens. That's what most people say. Everyone's been down at least once.
Let me ask
they
you
they
this.
Haven't, they're lying.
You drive like an a-hole?
I don't, actually. I really, like, the lane splitting thing, it irritates me, too. I mean, I have my fun, you know, 95, usually, like, at night when no one's riding.
There
but when people are bobbing and weaving at 5 in the afternoon, it's kind of irritating because then it gives everyone a bad name for you, you know what I mean?
So you're one of the
we all ride like assholes.
You're
eventually.
One of the good guys.
Better, I'd say.
Okay.
Let your cape. I'm about
I like
good.
All self-aware. Yeah.
Let your cape get caught in the engine. Let's talk to line 4. We'll do one more here. Chuck in Middletown. Chuck, good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Morning, sir.
Hey.
I'm kind of the other side of the coin.
What?
I was the I was the red and blue lights behind the problem.
Oh.
I'm retired now.
And what's so, explain the worst you've ever seen.
After getting on the radio and telling anybody else, you know, down in the Beltsville area, basically get out of the way. There's a rock crotch rocket coming down at an excess of 100. I come along and see this, what looks like a car fire on the side of the road.
Oh,
well,
God,
yeah,
no.
It was a car fire, all right. Well, it was an upside down car fire. And underneath the car was dude riding the motorcycle.
Wow.
Girl on the back of the motorcycle went south another 100 yards through the air.
Oh.
Now, her right leg went south-southwest off into the woods.
Oh. Oh.
Slow down!
So, after all of the calculus and math and damage evaluation is done...
How fast?
Speed of the motorcycle calculated by the accident reconstructionist at the time of impact, 147 miles an hour.
Holy hell. Oh my God. Slow down, moron.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
How many times have you been arrested? The new A&E hit Live PD had us asking the question because Scott's watching the show. He's got us into it. And if you watch it, you see that they have a tendency to visit the same neighborhood, sometimes the same people over and over again. So we opened up the phones to you, and you'll hear coming up, a lot of people arrested a lot of times.
Yeah.
And the guy at the end is who I wish we could have spent more time with. Lowell, you weren't in. We talked to a guy who had been arrested, I think it was 7 times, for drunken bar fights. And we asked him off air, because we didn't get a chance to get to it, out of these 7 bar fights... His record was 6-1.
Oh.
Yeah. He sounds like a real Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type. You put a little gin in him, and he's swinging at anything that moves.
I'm surprised he didn't get more jail time than he did for 6.
You'd
7?
Think these things would stack, man. You'd think these things would definitely stack compared to other crimes. Like people that get arrested the one time, you get a month. Second time, a year. Third time, 5 years. Fourth time, this is a pattern at this point.
This is assault.
This is just what you do at this point. You're a feral animal. Like, I don't care how well-spoken you are. And you'll hear in the conversation coming up, this guy is very clear. He's loquacious. You can understand what he's saying. But he's still a feral human being when you get anything alcoholic near his lips.
He said it was the hard stuff. I know a lot of people like that. They could do like the beer and wine, but then once they start to dance the dance with the harder stuff, it's like Mike said, they get that look where like they almost become like a wild animal.
Yeah.
They get
to glaze over and you're like,
oh. Oh, God. No.
Like their eyes just like see through you.
Yeah.
Like
they 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah. It's like, the reptilian brain has taken over.
Oh, we got someone here. Who that reptile brain takes over. Yeah. Let me just write this name down real quick. At a certain gentleman's birthday party for one Scott Reardon, I believe she walked up to someone and goes, "So you missed a football guy?" Well, guess what? Butts. And then disappeared off into the night.
Fell forward and passed out.
But it's never like violent or it's always
never.
Just...
Yeah. But they turn into something other than human.
Yeah.
Well, guys get arrested a lot. Weird. Girls get arrested a lot. And hear about it now behind the curtain. How many times have you been arrested? You've been deep down that Live PD hole. Record ratings, A&E, whenever it's on, one of the number one trends in the world. And whenever you watch the program, you see these police precincts, they keep going to the same spots over and over again. Not like they're lazy. They just happen to be hotbeds of criminal activity.
Well, yeah, that was part of the issue with the show, but I think we talked to Dan Abrams, the host, and I think he said that, you know, a lot of the bigger cities won't allow things like this because it's a double-edged sword, you know what I mean? You're kind of showing what goes on, but then it may come back to bite you in the ass. So... a lot of the precincts they're in are these smaller precincts that are like, hell yeah, let's be on TV. Greenville, South Carolina is like super sketch.
Blumberg, Nebraska.
And it's a Friday or Saturday night, and this is live, and this is what you're watching. So it's like the police officers that's their shift, you're seeing the same officers over and over, and you're getting to know them. But then you're also seeing the same perps over and over again, the same house. I've seen this same house where this one dude had people living in his shed. He has people living in his shed.
It's like an Airbnb.
and they're out in the middle of nowhere, and it looks like a junkyard, and there's people living in his shed. And then he, the guy had a disagreement with them. So what does he do? He goes outside to the extension cord that he has running to the shed and just unplugs it and turns their power off. So they had no power. Then it's the same house again, and the cop sees a woman going in there, and he pulls it. He's like, yeah, I just saw Becky. We know Becky. Becky's got a warrant, and we're going to go. I just saw her going to this house, so I'm going to go up there and get Becky, you know.
Hey, Becky.
So he goes up to the house, and everybody is saying that Becky, oh, I think her name is Becky. Let's just go with Becky.
We'll go Becky.
That Becky ain't in the house. 15-year-old son's like, she ain't in here, bro. You can't come in here. He's like, no, I just saw her, and I saw her clearly walk through this door. She's clearly in this house.
So I can smell Becky.
I have every right to come into the house. You need a warrant. He's like, no, I don't. I know she's in there. And he just knew this woman on a first-name basis. And it's like, how do you get to that point in life where it's just...
It's a daily part of your routine.
It's sad. It's like, I mean... I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm not getting sad while watching it, but when you really stop and think about it, like, man, this is just these same houses, these same people just keep, you know.
Getting popped over and over again for, it's usually dumb misdemeanor stuff, possession, you got a nickel, you got a dime, you kicked up a stink at a bar. You heard before we went to the break, you know, Josh does stories where at the very end of it, you know, you have facts about the perpetrator. He's been arrested 14 times for the same effing thing. The same guy that was wandering around a mall somewhere with a straight razor has done it in three other states. Just, you keep getting arrested. And I get it. There are situations somewhere where it is wrong place, wrong time. You've been arrested once. The man that was unjustly accused and DNA evidence exonerated him 27 years later. And then there's people that are just complete turd tacos. Like, you're just screwing up around the clock. Like, how do you keep getting arrested over and over again? Can that person be rehabilitated? Should we take them into a shed somewhere? Lock the door. Not kill them, but just keep them in the perp shed. Sort of like Mike Anderson's porn idea, Mike Anderson's slut shed. You getting that website off the ground, Mike?
No, I don't really have the... You know,
copy
internet
that.
Skills to do that, but one day.
410-338-1098. Are you that person? Do you have, is that dirt burger relative? Let's say he's been arrested just 15, 16, 17 times. Is there a redemption song for that person, or do we just ship them to Venezuela?
Somebody's saying that they think Live PD is scripted. They watched it a long time ago, and it seems like poor acting. That's why... the same people all the time. Maybe we're all just actors.
Oh my god.
Don't you roll that grenade into our lives. They're all paid actors. That's why it's all the same people. It's almost like it's just a drama.
Wait a minute. That crackhead is Liam Neeson. Let's go to the phones here real quick. Talk to Sean Port Deposit. Sean, good morning, buddy.
Morning.
You've been arrested how many times?
I've been arrested 9 times.
Oh my god, dude.
Sean, what have you done 9 times in a row that you probably shouldn't have done?
I get drunk. Somebody gives me an evil look at the bar, and
Sean sucks.
So you get drunk and fight people?
Yes. However, in my defense, October of this year will be 3 years since I've been arrested.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Hey, congratulations.
I was going to say 3 years sober, so.
At some point I was like, I have to grow up. Let's not do that anymore.
So you're still drinking?
Yes.
Just not fighting?
Yes.
Okay.
9 times. Like,
all 9 were just fights?
7 out of 9 were fights. One was a DUI and one was a trespassing.
I think you might have a drinking problem.
Sean, you might be the most well-spoken thug I've ever heard.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, to Scott's point, do you think you have a drinking problem? Do you think you might maybe need to ease up on the hooch?
I have eased up on the hooch.
You want to try to pick a fight with him?
See if I don't get sloshed anymore.
So it's been three.
I have a couple beers and then I go to bed. I wake up and I work.
How old are you now?
I am 29.
Okay, so this was like early 20s when this was going on?
Oh, yeah. Before 21, you know.
What was the issue? You were obviously drinking to numb something. There's obviously some...
Who touched you?
Were you touched? Were you abandoned? Were you beaten as a child? What is the issue? There's something going on there.
I don't know, to be honest. I mean,
you do. What is it? Come on,
share
with us.
There's some bad wiring. Come on.
Get it out. Let's go. This will help.
I have no idea. You know, I just got into college and I was introduced and I was like, this is awesome.
You're just born rotten.
No, but there was, yeah, you're not born rotten. There's no reason. Look, I go out and get, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I got S-faced all the time. I never fought anybody. Why were you, where was the anger coming from?
I don't know. I never put a thought into it, I guess. I'm sorry I to disappoint you.
He's getting mad.
Hey, come on, brother. Whoa, you're already doing it. You're already popping off with me. I just sensed that tone, dude. Relax.
I don't even, you seem pretty pushy, and I don't know. I have no idea.
This guy's quick to anger.
I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to you know, peel back the layers.
Well, short his defense. Sean.
There are some people that are
Well, Dr. Phil, I do appreciate that.
Damn. Listen, this guy's a...
Hey, I'd kick your ass up and down the block.
You see how quick you turn to that?
Yeah, he gets real sassy. He's even,
you see that?
You had a couple this morning for breakfast?
Damn, dude.
A liquid breakfast?
Damn, you go quick. You go quick to
the... Budweiser fits real good in a cup holder at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, some people are just mean drunks. You know, like there's a certain women that'll drink and cry every time. Like, I don't know. Something is...
I'm that woman.
Yeah, something in Sean's brain is wired to just get aggressive, I guess, when he drinks.
Well, Sean, has it been at the same place? Has it been the same bars? Have you run into the same police officers? Like when we made the example of Scott watching live PD and he sees the same officers, same perpetrators, same streets. Have you ever had like multiple run-ins?
Yeah, one time in Harford County. Officer, the second time was like, I was actually just a bystander to something else that happened. And he came up and he was like, is your name Sean?
Sean.
Yeah. He was like, let me see your ID. And I was like, I didn't even do anything. He's like, yeah, but you might have. Let me see your ID.
See, not a good place to be. When they're knowing your name, they know what you're up to, they know that you probably could have done something. That's when you got to look at yourself and be like, oh man, these cops like know who I am.
Sean, you scallywag, I looked you up online, all right, because we can do that. You just look like a ray of sunshine. I'm looking at you. You're not the guy that I feel like if I give the side eye at a local loonies, I'm going to catch a right hook to the jaw. You're like the guy that I can do like finger guns with, and you're gonna buy me tater skins. Look at that guy.
No. And that. You absolutely can until, you know, I start hitting the bottle.
What is it?
A couple beers, I'm totally fine. But if I start ripping shots, man,
it's the shots. Okay.
Yeah,
like Mike said, there's some people that just react adversely to certain types of booze. Like you start doing some Jameson shots, it's like, look out.
Yeah, game over.
How many times you been arrested?
Looking for all of our...
How many times you been in jail?
Henry Earls of the world. Ever heard of Henry Earl, dubbed the world's most arrested man?
No.
By the smoking gun, arrested in 2013 for public intoxication in Lexington, Kentucky, at the time 65 years old, so at this point he'd be 69. Well, hello there. Has spent nearly 6,000 days, 16 and a half years in custody. He has been arrested a grand total of 1,500 times.
Wow!
1,500 effing arrests. Anything from public intoxication to disorderly conduct. This guy is just a wandering derp. If you run into Henry Earl, there's a good chance he's up to no good.
Texter says,
trouble in our neighborhood.
Texter says he had to move out of Dundalk because he was getting locked up so often. He actually got locked up the same day he got out of jail once.
Yeah, the people that were out of jail at breakfast and back in by dinner, that's fun. 410-338-1098. Give us a ring if you have or know someone. Dean in Baltimore, you've been holding for a little bit. Thank you, bud. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
Dean. Hey, Dean.
Look, first, my oldest son is listening to you guys. I already know that, Nick. I hope I don't want to embarrass your brother, but, you know, I talked to you guys before about the pyro thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. You set the woods on fire, didn't you?
Yeah, and a couple other things, but I have 52 arrests. It's nothing to be proud of.
Oh.
Trust what I'm telling you. But when the police do get to know who you are,
they will put you in situations, you know, they'll tell you to come to the park and turn yourself in. They'll wait for it to get dark. They'll lock you up for being in the park after dark. You know, that's another arrest.
Oh, so it's them doing
and
it.
And I'm not saying I'm not walking around. People aren't trying to break my hands with their face or anything along those lines. However, they do their little tricks, too.
Oh, yeah. That's how dare they screw over such
right, so,
champion of society like yourself?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't trip over your cape.
On.
How's the kid holding up compared to you? Is that acorn hopefully fallen as far from the tree as possible?
Absolutely, he has.
Fantastic.
Nick is doing extremely well.
Hey, shout out, Nick.
I don't remember the story about what you're an arsonist, a serial arsonist.
No, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, everybody was like 3 or 4 years older than me, and they wouldn't allow me to come into their forts in the woods. So I decided I would just burn the forts down so they couldn't have me.
Oh, okay.
So that was the beginning right there. That was the beginning.
Wow.
As a child, when you're
set fire to people.
Yeah, you're setting things. That, I guess yeah, well, that, you can see it leads
to 52
arrests.
I think the conversation was who had lit herself on fire before or something along those lines, right. Because that's actually what had happened.
When
that's,
was the last time you were arrested?
2008.
Yeah, it's been a while. Been
oh,
a minute.
So it's been a rip.
It's been a minute.
Okay. You've been keeping your nose clean.
Keep your nose clean. All right. Stay off it.
Yeah, it gets old. It does. Like I said, it's nothing to be proud of, you know?
What's the worst
God,
crime?
You're so hard. It's unbelievable. Yeah, what was the worst?
Probably.
Attempted murder.
Well, the charge was armed robbery, but, you know.
It was a misunderstanding,
Were you convicted?
Let's just stop.
You're
it
on
with,
your way to the Maryland
see
Food
the way
Bank
you
to
are.
Volunteer.
The charge was.
But did you get
off it?
Were you convicted?
Yeah, I was convicted, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because he went into a place with a gun or something. Of course it was armed robbery.
See, what had happened
yeah,
was.
But you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. There's always a little.
Oh, I love
he's
it.
He's laughing.
He's laughing. You know.
That's what you got to do as a criminal. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
The charge I caught was first degree murder, but what I was trying to do was alleviate someone of their horrible existence by snapping their neck. Let's talk to Dan in Bel Air. Dan, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, bud?
Hey, first off, I want to say I was at the food festival this weekend. Had a blast.
Yeah, dude, it was a good time, man. Trifecta.
Yeah, good time. All right, and I got two things for you real quick. First off, there's a guy where we live. His name's Hobo Joe, and he's been arrested over 200 times.
Hell yeah.
He's one of those guys you were talking about that, you know, out by... out in the morning and by dinner, you know.
Right. He probably...
Now,
go ahead.
There is one other thing. I have been arrested a few times.
Oh.
I've actually talked to you guys a few times. I told you guys some prison stories.
Are
before.
You Hobo Joe?
No.
Okay.
How many times have you been arrested?
I've probably been arrested around 15.
Whoa!
You said a few times. I was thinking like 3 or 4.
Yeah, like 15? Let me give you an example. Can I? We'll give you an example
Jesus.
Real quick, Dan. If you told me that you had a few hot dogs, it'd be maybe 2 or 3 hot dogs. If you said you had 15 hot dogs, that's a lot of f***ing hot dogs. So you haven't been arrested a few times. You've been arrested a lot.
Yeah. Well. All right. So. All right. Granted, this was all. Due to the wonderful heroin problem in Baltimore.
Oh,
okay. All right, so it all reversed back to that. Now, Grant, I've been clean and sober now for over 5 years, so we're doing great now.
There you go. There's my guy. Congratulations on doing something you should have never done in the first place.
But what I was going to tell you was I used to break into houses, and I used to dress up like a Comcast cable man.
Whoa, and, you had a whole rack? You had the outfit
had a whole
and
racket.
Everything?
Oh, yeah. I had a whole gig. I would go to the end of the street, shut the cable off, go around, knock on doors, find out who was home, who wasn't, right? People would let me in their house to check their box, and I'd take stuff out the jewelry drawers.
Whoa!
And, you know,
did anyone ever catch you doing this, or were you just in and out real sly? Did you have the metal clipboard?
I got arrested 15 times. So maybe.
Once, or,
once or twice people came home, I had to jump out a window or something, you know. The moral of the story is they started a specific task force just for me, Harford County.
Oh, that's a resume
builder.
I'm very
proud of that.
Yeah.
Right. So now.
That's the moral of the story.
That's the moral of the story. Now, if you're going to commit a crime,
should we really be listening to morals from you? God's
yeah,
sake.
You probably should.
Okay. All right, sir.
Right. But so now I have a wonderful thing on my record that if the police run my license plate or see me anywhere, I'm to be automatically
stopped. Yeah.
Matter what.
Okay.
Right.
Well, guess what? Deal with it.
Yeah, because
you make your bed, you lie in it.
It doesn't bother me. Listen, it doesn't bother my father's a police officer. Listen,
what?
This is not
the plot thickens.
And so you're a rebel.
Right. Well, listen, they always say cops' kids are the worst kids.
Yeah, see, you know. You grew up so disciplined that you rebel.
Yeah, every preacher's daughter, she's going to be the first to party and the last to leave. Yeah.
That's just how it is, you know. It sucks, but that's what happened, and the drugs got involved.
Oh, my man.
Well, stay on the straight and narrow. You're doing good.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. Wow, these are good calls. Dude, he had a whole thing. The Comcast outfit.
Hey, I'm here to check your cable. I have a satellite dish. Let me in.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Our big boy hasn't been with us long, but he's made an impact, Zach. Boy, by the time you hear this, he'll be one day away. Tomorrow, Sunday, he turns 21 years old. Yeah, this is an interesting time for him because we can't really get into it yet, but he's about to make a big, big professional, personal life move. You'll know in the weeks to come once we get clearance to land. But yeah, this guy's got, he just has his priorities so straight. He's not thinking about how much Jaeger he's going to slam tonight, what gross local crustacean heathen woman of the night he's going to try and bed down in the backseat of whoever's Camaro. This guy's got a big grand vision for his life, a vision I never had.
Nah, yeah, it's like you say, you kind of fall forward in life, and I feel like I kind of backed my way into where I'm at. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I kind of just found my niche, and it kind of worked out. But he's that kind of guy where he seems very focused and driven, where I was the complete opposite.
If you remove the desire for sex and alcohol from a 21, 22-year-old's brain,
you get Zach.
They're a Fortune 500 CEO in 10 years afterwards. You get Zach. Yes, exactly. You get Zach. I mean,
Lol doesn't see what in Zach what we see.
Maybe because I just met him. Yeah. You guys know him a lot longer than I do. But I just think, you know, when you're 21, yeah, you get on this path. But a lot of things happen in life where you like,
Can derail you.
Well, I'm not saying he's in a bad way. I'm saying, well, maybe he wants, you know, maybe he'll veer off and do something else. You know, like
I have a feeling that every time he does veer, he might. You know, I veered away from, veered away from radio into comedy, veered away from comedy back at radio. Mm-hmm. Anything that he veers into is going to be larger and more grandiose than the last thing he did.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think you two give yourselves enough slack because you might say, well, I didn't know what I wanted to do, this and that, but there was something inside of you that made you keep driving to where you are right now.
Yeah, my old boss. He was inside of me. And then I got
failure.
This job.
I'm still convinced that my life is going to just implode and I will. It's just.
Oh, we're living the salad days, boys. Yeah. We're in the best times of our life now.
Yeah, yeah.
I give it another good 10 years before I'm just drunk in a trailer somewhere.
Stop it.
No, I'm with you. I'm going to be in a parking garage giving sexual favors to people I met on Backpage and not even doing a good job.
You guys are insane. Do you know?
Why? You don't think that that's going to happen?
No,
I'm buying a house right now. Do you know how like nerve-wracking that is? Because I know within the next 10 years that I'm not going to be able to pay for that house.
Oh, stop it.
What are you talking about?
Things, you'll be fine.
I won't be.
How?
This industry will go the way of the shoe cobbler or the VCR repairman, and I am going to be somewhere in an underground goth club giving out favors.
And that thing you just said where it all works out, that's just bullshit.
Nothing works out.
It's such a hack cliche line that everything always just works out.
Oh, look, so you lose your job and then you got to drive Uber for 6 months and then you're back doing something else.
You're talking to a guy who's wandered into a gun range and asked if he could buy one bullet.
See, now I'm not talking that. I'm not going to do that.
That's my retirement plan right there.
Huh? My Hearst has a pension. You're fine.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get like $200 a year.
You don't get the pension until what age?
Till you retire. I mean, 60-something, I think.
Okay, so, yeah, I just have to wait another 20 years.
Well, yeah.
I looked into my pension. I only found out a year and a half ago that I was a part of this pension program. That money that I'll get, I did the math on it, I'll have enough that if I had 7 roommates, I can get an efficiency somewhere in Curtis Bay.
That's not your only money. You have that. You have Social Security. You'll have your 401k. You'll, you know.
I should start a 401k. I should
yes,
definitely start.
You don't have one?
Just kidding. Okay, I have a 401k. Okay. I check it daily and don't see very
little. How much do you have in it?
I'll write it down. I actually just checked recently.
Uh-oh.
I don't have nearly enough as I should. But it's actually performing pretty well, right, recently? It's been like
the market's doing very well.
It's been like 9.5-10%.
Yes.
I got that in a
zeros.
Okay.
Yeah. That's that much.
Lowell, you probably know this because you're Jewish. How much do you need to retire? How much
depends your lifestyle.
You want to have 70% of your current assets, I've read. If you want to live the way you do, make 70% of what you do in your retirement if you can retire at 65. I do a lot of research about this crap because I'm panicked daily.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need several million dollars in your 401k.
Oh, several million?
But
in your 401k?
Wait, but you're
what are you talking about?
You're talking 25 years. If you max out your 401k right now, in 25 years, it will be worth several million dollars.
What?
From what you guys make, I guarantee.
But that's contributing a max for the next 25 years.
You think I'm working here in 25 years?
No, we got another 10 years, dude.
How do you know?
There's no way.
How do you know?
My last name's not Fleischer. There ain't no way I'm working here in 25 years.
You have no idea.
If I'm working here in 5 years, I'm taking everyone to dinner. Everyone.
Oh, stop it.
Ruby Tuesdays. Twice baked potatoes. All right, Zach's going to have a great life, and we're not. Coming up on Behind the Curtain. Oh, boy, you ready to get down? It's going down. House party, party. Well, well, well. Zach, Slenderman, you're turning 21.
That's right.
What day?
August 6th, Sunday.
August 6th, baby, getting turned. Taking off Monday? You can. I mean, you're going to be taking off the rest of the year forever.
There's actually a little vacation. I'm doing a week of vacation, and I'm squeezing some official business into that, but yeah.
Assistant producer Zach turning 21, and I'm trying, when I think back to when I turned 21, it just seems like an eternity ago.
It really absolutely does seem forever ago.
Because it was an eternity.
It was. I've told the story before, so I'll just give you the briefest of recaps. 21, couple friends, Diamond Dan's All-Star Cabaret, didn't know how strip clubs work. I grabbed a stripper's butt cheek. I was elbowed in the face by said stripper. She pointed at a security guard, said, please escort him out. I was walked out front. I sat out front, drunk. They stayed inside for another hour. My lip was split. My head hurt. I drove home. That's how you end a 21st birthday party. There needs to be an injury. There needs to be an occurrence. There needs to be apologies. There needs to be missing items. Like, if you get home in a reasonable hour and you feel okay on the first day after turning 21, dare I say, f*** up. All right.
Doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. You don't have any kind of thing.
I'm not. I'm not a wild side. I'm too safe. I'm boring. I don't like parties that much. I'm not huge.
You probably haven't had how many beers have you drank in your whole life?
I don't know. Maybe a 6-pack?
Yeah. Thank
God. Really? You're drinking alcohol before the age of 21? Mike, we need to work on our vetting process.
A 6-pack for me used to be the pregame before I went to the bar.
Yeah, that's what
my dad
would give me.
He's had an entire 6-pack his whole life.
Before a Little League game he'd watch.
You know, I almost respect him for that. You have to.
Some restraint.
No plan on going ham whatsoever. No.
I don't know. Zach. I'm doing some traveling that day. So,
are you around on Saturday?
In the afternoon.
I have to go to Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium for the second of 3 open practices for the Baltimore Ravens and their fans.
Bow.
I would not mind arriving to that event just tore up from the flora. I can get an Uber. Zach, would you like to spend the first part of your Saturday with me? Ah, it's a Saturday. You're still not legally able to. You can come to my house, and I'll pour booze in a minor.
No, it's not his speed.
No,
man. That's
no
not
minor.
His speed.
Ever try PCP? Huh? You ever get wet? Hit that sherm? Come on, man. A couple of dipsticks?
I haven't, no.
What are the kids doing nowadays? We know they're doing opioids.
Adderall, I think. I think Adderall is big.
Let me get my bag.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know the drug dealers. I'm
what's
not
an ideal,
cool with the right people.
What's an ideal 21st birthday party for you look like?
Just something simple. I've had a lot of my birthdays have actually been kind of out of state, out of mind. For my 19th, I think, 18th or 19th, I was actually in Canada. So we were in Ontario on the Great Lake there. And that was nice. It was just a nice, relaxing
day. Some poutine and a little Magic the Gathering. Okay. Jesus, man.
Settlers of Catan.
I'm so boring.
Some Settlers of Catan.
You're not boring. You're you. I'm trying, and it's fine.
I'm trying to curtail your success right now. I'm doing everything I can to put a rock on the tracks to derail this train.
You're fine.
All right, all
cuddle
six.
Up with a good book on the couch for your 21st birthday. That's nothing wrong with that.
Put on a nice black suit, hang out in the tree line, lure children with a song only they can hear. Take them to your old underground fortress. Huh? That's okay.
Anybody go out and get hammered.
Yeah, but not everyone can go outside and do PCP with the dude they just met. Come on, man. You ever tried to punch through a windshield?
No, well, I did just speaking of, like, getting everything official for the day, I did change my license yesterday. So I will have the card. I will have the sideways license. So I'm moving up.
Wow.
Very, very nice. Yeah. And, Zach, I'm not sure if we've ever cleared this up. Are you a spoken for gentleman?
No, not right now.
Well. Bob Biggins. Mike, contact a professional.
I don't think he's going to do that.
I got to save money, too. So don't spend it on that.
No, that would be on us.
That's on us, brother.
Yeah.
We will take you to Red Lobster for Lobster Fest. We got multiple ways you can enjoy it.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it's actual Lobster Fest. You're going to be eating lobster Alfredo, some cheddar bay biscuits, side salad. You strike me as a Catalina dressing on the side type of guy. And we're going to go outside. And you're gonna a hooker. All right,
have you ever been to a strip club, Zach?
I haven't. There were some plans in college.
Hey, would you guys back off? Can you tell it's not the kind of guy he is?
I'm wholesome. Can we go to fantasies?
Dare I say he's better than all of us?
Yeah, fantasies.
That's a guarantee.
He's a more wholesome human being. We should all aspire to be him.
I'm PG-13.
Good for you.
Yeah.
We need more PG-13 in this world. Not everything needs to be rated R.
It's time to show you what's going on in that champagne room, white boy. Uh huh. Time to pop bottles with a girl named Mercedes who's a runaway.
We have got to take you to a strip club.
Yes. I beg you.
Let me take you. I'll even go too.
Lowell Meltzer will go.
I'll go too. I haven't been to one in years.
Let's take him.
Let's go to the block.
No, we need you to get to your next job. We need you to get there. I need to send you where you're going, riddled with syphilis and stab wounds. No. I got a place. We'll go to Fantasies.
Curtis Bay.
All right. We'll send you to God's country. All right. We'll be taken care of there like kings, man. Like kings. Get you some big, nice, strapping Samoan dude. Put that big, fat, hairy ass in right on your stomach. Give you smooches on your cheek. Huh? Say, now they're nice.
Yes.
What's Zach's type?
Hey, what is your type?
Yeah,
attainable.
Okay. Zach turns 21. A young boy comes of age and discovers his own body. We were staying in Paris. Are you beginning to notice hairs in places you haven't before?
Mm-hmm. Is this a milestone for you? It doesn't seem like much of a milestone for you.
I don't know. I don't think I'm that sentimental. Like, as a person, I didn't do a college graduation. I'm just going to kind of get it in the mail eventually.
Yeah, M-A-L-E.
But for a lot of people, it's, you know, like, you know, legal drinking age and, you know, becoming a real adult for, you know.
Yeah, this is big, man. You've got 13, I'm a teen. 16, sweet 16. 18, I can buy smokes. 21, I can drink booze. 25, run a car, quarter life crisis. 30, body falls apart. 40, you kill yourself. There's milestones.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess it is. It's just I think I'm busy with a lot of stuff right now, and I think that's kind of overshadowing it. Like,
even more reason to drink.
It's not what he does.
Yeah, man, it's how we deal. Mike and I are doing great. I've only cried 4 times this week, and it's Thursday.
Some texts. Tell the intern not to feel bad. The night of my 21st birthday, I went and watched The Hateful Eight in theaters and thought it was a great time. I've also never been to a strip club, and I'm 22.
We need to put together a crew, Mike.
My name is
Posse.
Amber. I had a great 21st birthday. No alcohol. Had a big bonfire on a cliff overlooking some water and a barbecue with my boyfriend and my family.
God, I realize we're huge in the loser demo.
And when I turned 21, I did a flying elbow drop into a coffee table, snapped it in half, and while laying in the rubble, I proceeded to pee myself in front of about 20 people.
Yes! Oh,
good times. No. I'm also a chick.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Oh! You're the most fun.
Yeah. Oh, hashtag butt stuff. She's
come on,
great
Zach.
Gun.
Let's break some coffee tables.
Would you be willing to break a coffee table with us?
No, it's not his speed.
Not your thing?
I don't think I'm capable.
Let us be your Sherpas to dirtbaggery, okay?
I mean, a lot of these texts we're getting are very... I mean, I don't want to, you know...
God, you're the best of us.
Speak ill of the texters, but they're just pretty par for the course. Yeah. My girlfriend's 21st birthday, me and friends went to Power Plant Live. She got so hammered, I had to pull over for her to throw up.
Yeah.
That's like a Tuesday, man.
Yeah, I do that on the way out of here. I just yak in the parking lot. After days we have here...
Oh, yeah, to pull over to have somebody throw up? Come on!
I don't think Rick liked that one break.
You know, there's nothing... I feel like when you drink that much, there's nothing worse than like when you're coming to in the morning you're trying to figure out like what you did. And like you remember some of the embarrassing stuff you did.
A mysterious taste in your mouth, your finger's the wrong color, and you grab your phone immediately to see the 4,000 text messages.
I remember when I turned 30, we were at... what's the name of that place up there? The Barn. We were broadcasting live from the Barn.
Maryland Food Bank.
For a bacon and beer. It was my 30th birthday. It was the exact day of my birthday.
Dude, I was there for that.
And
that was off the rails.
So hammered. That was when I turned 30. Because it was Mickey. He's like, oh, we're going to get you drunk.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and he set out
did it.
And achieved that goal. You were carried out of there almost in a body bag.
Yes.
But then the next day, like you're waking up in bed, haze.
Yeah,
and you're
learn.
Like,
you learn.
Oh, man, did I tell that guy to F off? Was I dancing on a table?
Or did I F that guy on a table?
Yeah. Like, what?
410-338-1098. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to who's been holding for a bit. Allie, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
How are you, love?
Hi, Allie.
How old are you now?
I'm 32.
Copy that.
Okay. Allie seems like she might have had a good 21st.
I did. It was a senior crawl, but I was a junior, and the very last bar right before it, I went into a Chick-fil-A and proceeded to projectile vomit all over the entrance. And then I had to wake up about 4 hours later after I went to sleep at, 2:30. Yep. I had to practice, and I had, permanent marker written all over me, so...
What practice?
I played lacrosse in college.
Oh, that's sexy.
Did you wake up with the Sharpie penis on your head?
I had, a lot of penises on my forearms, and...
Yes.
No, I'm talking about the Sharpies.
On the Sharpie, yes.
Yay! You slept with a ton of people that night.
Were you the goalie?
No, D-wing.
I was just checking.
Copy that, baby. Wow, Allie.
Projectile vomit in Chick-fil-A. Not bad.
Might put her on hold and give her whatever she wants. She seems like a damn good time. Let's talk to... Oh, this is a sad one. Let's talk to AJ here in Baltimore. Excuse me, Bel Air. AJ, good morning.
Yeah. So my son was born 2 months premature. So he was actually born 9 days before my birthday. So he was emergency C-section. So I went and spent the day in the hospital with him on my 21st birthday.
That's so metal.
But to that effect, I mean, I've been allowed to drink in my house since I was 15, so it really wasn't that big a deal.
Well, there you go. Yeah, 21 didn't mean nothing to you.
Gotcha. So a 15-year-old drinker had a premature kid just before he turned 21. Yeah, everything lines up there. Let's talk to... You're getting a 15-year-old trashed on Goldschlager. There's a good chance he's going to be a grandfather by the time he's 30. Let's talk to Dan in Pennsylvania. Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? Happy birthday, Zach.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Very nice.
Hey, I kind of feel a little inferior with Sharpie penises and smashing tables and whatnot, but, hey.
Your story is your own, sir. Share it.
So I spent my 21st birthday in Germany deployed active, and it was really no big deal because I was already drinking beer in the bars legally. So, no big deal there. But when I got back, my brother was kind enough to have a nice surprise set up for me. He got me liquored up pretty good and put me in a wheelchair and locked the wheels and handcuffed me to it. The music started. I had a blindfold. Everything was smelling nice until the blindfold came off and she was about 380 pounds.
Oh, yeah! I love your brother.
I could not move.
making her way to the stage.
That is so good. Oh, she smells good. Oh my God, those boobs are so big and soft. Oh, oh yeah. And then, oh!
Oh!
Six, go to six. Oh. Line six, Mike says.
I'm Kimberly.
Good morning. We have Casey Towsing. Good morning.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, I have a pretty interesting story. I was 21. I went to Hammer Jacks with my sisters and my brother and a bunch of friends. And they call us all onto the bar. Everyone on the bar for the next song gets free shots, and we jump up on the bar. My brother-in-law starts to fall. He grabs a hold of me to catch himself. We both fall behind the bar. I smack my head on the ice chest. Blood everywhere. My brother dragged me to the men's room to try to help me clean up the blood. My ears, like, sliced in half.
Oh!
He's like, he goes, tell him somebody knifed you. And I'm like, I was so drunk, I started believing the lie that some girl knifed me and cut me in the head. They call an ambulance. It's also like Halloween, so everybody's in costumes at Hammer Jacks. You can just imagine.
That's a bad scene.
And then I got in a fight with the ambulance driver because some guy's overdosing on the curb and they were going to take him instead of me. So I get into a huge fight with her. Long story short, I wake up the next day with a big skull. I look like Frankenstein with his wrap around my head. And my husband's ex-mother-in-law showed up to the house, who I'd never met, to pick up the kid's shoes, his son and daughter. And I have a huge gauze on my head with, like, blood all over my ear. And
yeah, Zach, you're going to go ahead and just have a sandwich on Sunday, maybe a bowl of soup.
She got mad because the ambulance was going to take a guy that was overdosed.
After she got make-believe stabbed in the head.
With her little cut ear. Yeah, I have a cut ear, meanwhile there's a guy overdosed.
No, you didn't get a cut ear. A dude stabbed you in the head. That's what happened.
All right, let's go to Greg in Baltimore. Greg, good morning.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, nobody.
What's up, Greg?
Yeah, so my 21st birthday, I had plans to, you know, go out, hit the night, and, you know, go to a strip club for the first time. But during the day, I call him sperm donor because that's, you know, he really wasn't in my life too much. He's locked up. But, you know, we were more friends than we were father and son.
You're talking about your dad,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so he asked me to stop by, so I stopped by. We went for a drive, and we picked up someone that he knew, and on the way back, you know, he started, you know, talking to her and in a way that, you know, I kind of knew that, you know, something might be going down. So when we got back to his spot, he said, yeah, it's his birthday. Why don't you start, you know, hooking him up? So I'm confused, you know, like, what's going on?
Right.
And I say, I know she gets a little special attention.
Oh.
And certain, yeah.
Uh-huh. And, while
that's happening, he gets behind her.
Oh! Whoa! 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 Wait a minute!
Whoa!
Whoa! Wait a minute!
Whoa!
Little Eiffel Tower action with the dad on the 21st.
Oh!
Woo!
Woo! Congratulations! You are the single greatest caller of all time with the single worst story we've ever heard.
Makes up for all those years of being absentee deadbeat.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel Behind the Curtain, thank you for joining us on a Saturday morning. I'm here with Mike Anderson as he chomps into an apple.
Yeah, sorry, I'm here.
How deep is your fear of getting fat again?
It's very deep. Yeah, the fear is real. The fear is real. I don't want to be, you know, a year from now, back up to 225, and then everybody's whispering behind my back, you see Mike Lely, oh my God, he really blew back up. Told you what.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, I got fat again. I was fat. See, that's the thing. I was really fat, like, high school and college. College mostly, and then 6 years in Albany made me, like, super fat. I got to, like, 225. Then I got down to about 186, 190. And then with the kid and the job and stress, it's like I kind of gone back up a little, but it wasn't. Yours would be way more of a big story if it were to all, because it was been so highly publicized.
Oh, yeah.
You've lost so much weight and you got so ripped that it would be like, mine's just like, I'm carrying around a little extra daddy weight. I really need to watch what I eat a little bit more and work out a little bit more, but it's not, you know, like a huge to do.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a ton of people I'm sure that want that to happen too. So I don't want to give them that pleasure of seeing me get fat again so they can laugh at me.
Well, the reason we bring it up is because this past week, Stan White, part of our Ravens broadcast team, joined us in studio. Holy hell. The dude is 67, right? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
His arms. I mean, you just take a shot of his arms and you go, how old do you think this person is? And show them that person's arms. They're going to be like, he's probably like a 30-year-old dude. His arms are ripped, tan, vascular, veiny. I mean, just insanity.
Yeah, it gives you hope. It definitely gives me a little bit of hope. Because, yeah, most 60-plus-year-olds look like Paul Mittermeier. They have a gut. They hobble around, you know. He must have great genetics too, to be that age and not have any like serious aches or pains. Maybe he does, and we don't know about it, but he doesn't show it.
Do you also think that looking at Stan White, the skin will loosen, the skin ages as you get older, but the muscle is still strong, tight, boulderish? Did you notice his arms to where he sort of had the older gentleman skin, but the muscle underneath it still looked like a gigantic softball? What looks more defined? I thought it looked actually his arm looked more defined under some slightly weathered skin compared to a young man's.
Yeah, I guess as long as you stretch that skin out, you know.
Yeah.
You probably can see more veins. It probably looks better.
Dude, his veins.
More muscular.
God, they look like the Harbor Tunnel.
Mm. Yeah, they're like the size of a penny.
They're like a heroin addict's wet dream.
All right, well, here he is, Stan White. Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain.
Season football, week one, Ravens, Redskins. This man has been part of the fabric of the broadcast team and the NFL itself. Ladies and gentlemen, always proud to have Stan White in studio with us. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, man. So where to even begin with you? You said, you know, briefly during the news with Lowell, you do know how this team works. You have a relationship with them, unprecedented access. Harbaugh, Shoddy, Pease, you know, Trestman, and the players therein. They respect you not just as an analyst, but as a guy that played the game. So where do you start? The injuries, Flacco's back, Kaepernick, last year into this year. What has been the biggest talk over at the Castle?
Well, the biggest talk at the Castle and outside the Castle has been the Kaepernick thing. But in the Castle, you're talking about the injury situation.
Yeah.
You know, I know John says he's not concerned, but being a coach also, a high school coach, you're always concerned when guys get hurt and who you have and your depth, and you're trying to put a team together. And this offensive line was a question mark to begin with. Now they got guys getting hurt on that, and they're shuffling them around, as Paul Mittermeier talked about, and moving them around the positions to see who can play this position and what's the best five they're going to have on the field. So, yeah, that's a concern because the offensive line is, you know, paramount to the offense being able to move the football, either running, passing, whatever it might be. I think the Cowboys proved that last year. You can go with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back if you got a good offensive
line.
Keeping
Dak safe,
you can get by. So.
And no team starts the year with the team that they would have liked to have. Every team has injuries. So we're not going through anything other team doesn't. But this team, in the past few years, especially after 47, seems to be snake bit with injuries leading into or in the beginning parts of the season. I mean, how have you seen Harbaugh up close and personal adjust to having to constantly shift, like you say?
Well, like you said, you have to do it. It's part of what this league is.
So I was going to say, hasn't it almost just become you come to expect that?
Yeah, you come to live with it. I don't think you expect it.
Some
injury is going to happen. Yeah, but you just have to move on and go forward. You can't cry about it because there's nothing you can do. Everybody's going to have some of them. It's like, you know, the calls, they're supposed to even out. The injuries, you hope, will even out over the years, and the teams that you're playing will have them. And sometimes, you know, that's why you look at the strength of schedule and you say, who has the hardest schedule going in? It doesn't matter at this point because by the time you play them, you don't know who they're going to have on their team.
Right, good point.
You don't know which rookies are going to be good. You don't know which players are going to get injured. So none of that matters. It's what you do with the situation, with the cards that you're dealt. And right now, they're not getting very good cards because the injuries are popping up and they're starting to go into an area where they had concerns to begin with, which is that offensive line.
And speaking of the offensive line, oftentimes overlooked, right? Not the whole high-profile position like a wide receiver or a quarterback or a running back. And, you know, those guys are down there. You got your centers and your guards and your tackles. When you start shuffling dudes around,
You know, to the layperson, it might be like, oh, you're just playing the offensive line, not a big deal, just move them wherever you need them. But those are specialized positions. And yes, some players will be, you know, more adept to, you know, moving around. But just within the matter of, you know, that 6 foot span there, there's dudes in there that, you know, that's very specialized. And when you get to the point where you have to shuffle dudes around, that's not good.
Well, yeah, like Marshall Yanda, he's looked at as the best guard in football. But sometimes he has to play tackle.
Right.
So you got somebody less than Marshall Yanda playing guard, and Marshall Yanda is not one of the best tackles in football.
Exactly.
So you're weakening two positions mm-hmm. when you shuffle people around. But you sometimes have to do it. They're doing it with Alex Lewis now a little bit. At left guard, he's proven as a rookie a pretty good left guard in this league. You move him to right tackle, you don't know what he's going to be at right tackle. So, moving guys around, sometimes you weaken two positions to fill up just to get guys on the field.
Yeah. Now, the Kaepernick thing, it might be behind us because it seems like Joe's back is getting better and he's feeling better, so we may not be in a position where we even need to be looking at this guy anymore. But what was your take on this whole thing with, you know, the whole kneeling during the national anthem? Because we opened up the phone lines yesterday, Stan, and the people are, it's just very polarizing. Some are like, hey, it's a football decision. The guy has every right to do what he wants to do as long as he wins his games. Other people say they would burn their season tickets.
Well, you always have a right. You have to do what you want to do, but there are ramifications. I know. I mean, being a lawyer, also, you know, the Constitution only protects you against the government putting penalties on what you do. Not. I mean, you can say something on this air, and they could fire you for something you say on this air. You're not protected by the Free Speech Amendment from from 98 Rock,
right,
firing you if you say something that's really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You say enough things that are crazy, but I mean really crazy on the air. And the same thing with me. You know, there's some questions I don't want you to ask me on the air because no matter which answer I give, it can be taken the wrong way. So it's Colin Kaepernick made a decision to do it. Now, I would have had more respect for him if he just said, no, I'm going to continue kneeling during the national anthem. Because last year he had a guaranteed contract, making $11 million, and he said, okay, now I'm going to protest. Now when he's out there without a contract and he wants to get back in the league, okay, I won't do that anymore.
Right.
So, I mean,
like you're saying, he bowed to the dollar.
Yeah. Are you really?
Do you think it wasn't just the, because he obviously did that. He took the knee, but then it was subsequent things. He had the pig cop socks.
That was the worst. That was probably
Che
the thing.
Che Guevara stuff. Because it seemed like there was some trashier stuff that went along with what was initially supposed to be a silent protest. He did do some pretty lowbrow stuff.
Yeah, he did. And those two that you mentioned are that. And, you know, the Castro thing, the T-shirt and all those different things that that went into that. So
do you think we're in a day and age, Stan, with like social media in 2017 where a normal person can have a voice more so now than ever, that if we did have to progress down this road, that the Ravens would be have an ear out and be listening to that, or would or would they just make the decision regardless?
No, it's a business decision when you make it, and it's very much.
Yeah, but do the fans factor into that?
Yes, they do. What they think is going to factor into it. If you're an owner in this league, like I said with the Joe Mixon thing, they've decided to do that. The Ray Rice, you know, Ray Rice was coming back until the video came out, and then everybody saw how ridiculously bad the incident was, and the next morning he was released, and because you knew that the fans were not going to put up with that type of person on their team once they saw what was actually done.
I can't recall a time seeing a difference in opinion between the fan base as a whole and the player base, because every quote that we've heard from Suggs and other members of the team seem to be in support of bringing on someone like Kaepernick if he could help them win. And meanwhile, the fan base, not everybody, but it does seem a large majority, is like, do not have that man here. So would they?
But Mike also brought up a good point that if you were against it, you probably just wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, most of the players wouldn't say
it. Is it a company
line? You don't say
you
something against other players.
Right.
You don't.
Yeah. Gotcha.
You know. You don't want to take away their shot of playing and making a living.
Because when
he
did it initially, and he was still in San Fran, there were plenty of players coming out being screw that guy.
They did, and then they found out that maybe worked against them too. You know, you can say, yeah, we want him on the field because we want to win. You know,
and is this also
the fans will respect that. But if they said, you know, we don't care what he did about this and we back him up, there's going to be some repercussions for them on that.
And I think another thing that we're getting away from, too, that when this first initially broke, when he did all this in San Francisco, is that we turn to football on a Sunday as a release from the other garbage from the rest of the week, the news, the work, the whatever financial, social anxiety issues that we have. And we can just relax within a 3-hour game of football. And then when you saw these social issues bleed into that, and then it turned into this whole thing during this game that we like to just kind of sit and detox and decompress with, everyone kind of threw their hands up like, oh God, not here too. Like this, our game of football and whatever you happen to enjoy outside of football, I think a fan base is like, we can't have this here again. There's a time and place to talk about this stuff, that.
But sports has been the
give
leading,
us our release
has been leading in a lot of the social issues back to Jackie Robinson and what role that played on, you know,
Muhammad
integration
Ali.
And Muhammad Ali and all the different ones that have done it. Arthur Ashe over the years, sports has been a leader.
The Olympics in, holding up the fist.
Tommy Smith. I mean, yeah. I lived through that. I remember my dad going crazy and how anti-American that was and everything. Yeah. And now you look back on it and it was an historic time, something we remember. Always remember, and it just goes that way. Sometimes it's really rough during that time, but when you look back on it, you say, you know, that was the right thing to do.
I got a theory. Stan White, part of the Ravens broadcast team, part of the Ravens fabric for so many years, a guy that you've worked with silently off the air, helping get things set up, plugged in, programmed, and ready to go, might have taken inspiration from you. That man being Mike Anderson. Mike Anderson, newly developed amateur bodybuilder, worked around you for years.
Did you see the photos?
What you were doing. Have you seen Mike the bodybuilder?
Oh, yeah.
The
before and after. Yeah.
Show him the before after. Where's the best place to find a photo?
Go to my Facebook page. I posted
it. It's really impressive.
Is that right? Good.
Well,
Michael Anderson. I see a lot of those type before and afters. Let me tell you, it's amazing what you can do if you get if you put your mind to it and you
take a look. Look at Mike Anderson there. Look at that guy.
Whoa! Look at that. All waxed down and buttered down. And look at all that
buttered.
Stuff,
he's buttered down.
He's buttered. He's hazelnut buttered down.
Yeah, look at him.
He looks like he's in blackface.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Oh,
that's the before, huh? Okay.
Oh, that's on my Instagram, I guess.
Right.
Don't you have a before after where you're like making a forced double chin and all that?
I don't think I forced that, but it's the perfect before picture. Where my hair's disheveled. I'm frowning. I'm just like the biggest lump of.
You look like this.
I'd like to think I had a good influence on the whole booth. I mean, Ryan Bogash, he lost a lot of weight and got down. Jerry Sandusky's about doing CrossFit with me. We're doing all this different thing.
You worked alongside him
look
for so
at Michael.
Long.
Oh my gosh.
And Mike, I'm not saying it was like a crush, but you would come
in. You were
in
really bad before, Mike.
Doughy.
Doughy. Real soft.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But he would come in on like Mondays or Tuesdays and would tell stories of just hearing you discuss your workout regimen, the CrossFit you do, working out with Jerry. Like, how's he lifting that much weight? I mean, I'm 30 years as junior, and he's throwing 250 pounds above his head. And I threw my back out, reaching for a bag of Doritos, and the man makes a change and becomes the man we now
look
see
at
before
him.
Us.
I know. He looks great, Mike. Good job.
Oh, thanks,
good
Stan.
Job.
Well, you guys were discussing earlier, I mean, the vascularity on Stan is outstanding.
Your
like
four,
just his forearms
I
alone.
Want the blood to keep flowing. You know?
good veins.
What is your, like... You do supplements or any stuff like that, or you just a strict diet?
No. I do a lot of paleo type eating, you know, except for ice cream.
But you hitting like the vitamin shake.
Ice cream's definitely
what kind of ice cream?
Oh, moose tracks, all different. You know, I move around a little bit.
But you hitting like the GNC and dabbling with any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, or? I do. I do use supplements. I use fish oil. I use vitamin C. The different vitamin Bs. Different things for cognitive value. All those different things.
Do you do a pre-workout? You take the step before
like
you
pre-workout?
Get
pre-workout?
Oh, yeah. I have a one down the car that I'll drink on the way to the CrossFit this morning. Yeah, that sort of gets you ready to work out, gets your blood flowing.
Have you ever had the unfortunate occurrence of taking a pre-workout? This happened to me maybe once or twice. You take a pre-workout on the way to go work out. Something, a schedule thing screws you up. You can't go work out. And if you don't lift the pre-workout out of your system, you get a case of the meth jitters that you have to work out after you drink this stuff, or you're going to get the shakies that people are going to think you're on something.
Yeah, I haven't done all the drugs in my past as you have, so maybe I don't have that.
Still on it. Thank God they don't test here, Stan.
Hey, let's talk about Bashaud Perryman. Everyone's saying they've never seen anything like this guy. He's healthy. He's out there. He's catching balls. He's the second coming. And then all of a sudden he had a little hamstring thing. I don't hope that's nothing major, but we know how that goes with him sometimes. But apparently, I mean, this might be the year.
It could be, but you got to take it to the games. You know, all the stuff in practice is great, but coaches will tell you they've seen all these All-American practice guys who have never taken it to the game. And that's what Bashaud has to do. He has all the ability in the world. He shows that in practice. Now you have to do it in the games. And that's, you know, the first year he was hurt. The second year he wasn't quite as good at coming out of his breaks, and that messed up his communication with Flacco. So he's got to put it all together and be the receiver that they thought he was when he was a first-round draft choice. He looks like he's going to be that guy.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the keys to this whole offense, whether it goes or not. Because, you know, I think Macklin's going to be good and Wallace is going to be good. If they can get that third guy with that speed that can do that, you know, they could do some things offensively.
Woodhead?
Well, Woodhead's going to be a great. Danny. I remember back to Hard Knocks when he was trying to make the team with the Jets and Rex Ryan talking about him. I've always liked the type of player he was.
Scrappy dudes.
Yeah,
his nickname should be Nails.
Yeah, he's also like a barrel. It's hard to tackle, you know, and he's small and he's got great moves and he's got great hands. He makes plays. I mean, he's the type of guy you want on your football team.
Hell yeah.
What do you think about the sudden departure of John Urschel and that concussion study
CTE.
That had come out, the CTE study. How'd that strike you?
Yeah, I don't know if the two were related or not. You know, he's been getting his doctorate at MIT, and you're around those people, and all of a sudden you say, do I really want to go back to football? Do I want to keep doing, which one do I want to do? Can I keep doing both? I think he just finally made the decision that I want to do this other part of my life. I got to get that thing going. Doing it half a year isn't working.
Yeah.
I went through that with practicing law, you know, doing it half a year and doing that.
Well, get into that concussion study with the 110 former NFL players' brains out of 111 showing, you know, concussion syndromes, brain damage. Scott had an interesting theory with the equipment, the development of the equipment, the advancements in helmet padding technology. That are some of these players almost too protected and feel too confident in modern day helmets? Like the stuff that you played in compared to what these guys are playing in. Like, float your idea out there about
you probably didn't
the
leave with your
helmets.
Head. Well, you didn't probably leave with your head as much as these guys do now because, you know, it's kind of become the culture to lead with your helmet and for whatever reason. But yeah, the technology has advanced so much that these guys feel safer with leading with their helmets. And I said, if you put something. You take their helmets off, they're not going to leave with their helmets. I'm not saying that's what you do, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, back really when I played, they taught you to leave with your helmet. They taught you to stick your helmet between the guy's number, and that was the way it was. And you look at the helmets we wore back then, I mean, they're ridiculous. They look like the ones you buy in Target.
The Tupperware containers compared to the anti-armor stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I have my helmet when I played at Ohio State next to my son's helmet when he played at Ohio State, and it looks like a little toy next to it. So,
do you think these players feel too confident in this stuff, but still
they could
travel through?
But the issue with the study is it's a flawed study to begin with. It's only people that have problems that have that the brains that they've looked at. And it's just an extension of the study. It went from, you know, 67 out of 68 to all the way down the line. But they've also done a study at the University of Michigan. This is what I brought in, that reports of depressive symptoms are only slightly higher in football players than the general population. And the depression gap narrows as former players age, that retirees are much less likely to report having episodes of explosive anger than other men. Mm-hmm. And we know from a different study that the suicide rate is less than half and almost a third of what the normal population is.
Wow.
on top of that. Plus, NFL players live 3 to 5 years longer than a normal man does.
Whoa. So this was a study with an agenda.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, and I've done concussion seminars with Ann McKee, who is the lead author of this study. And the question I always ask her, okay, if 110 out of 111 have it, then why don't I have it? I must have it in my brain. Then why doesn't it affect me? Why doesn't it affect almost everybody I know?
Right.
And why is our rate only slightly higher than the normal population?
It should be dramatically
higher. Yeah, it should be. So the issue is, okay, do not all people have it, number one, or if you do have it, is there other things that cause that to kick in?
Yeah, there's
is
a
it
lot,
because,
right.
Is it because you, after you're done, that you go broke or you get divorced and you have depression, or you do drugs, or you eat horribly and you gain a lot of weight?
So many variables.
Yeah,
yes.
All those other right. things that relate to it. So I think this same institution, earlier last month, issued another study of 4,000 high school football players and found that there was no correlation to dementia among the high school football yeah. players that they studied over the high school players from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. 4,000, there was no, but nobody talked about that at all. So, I mean, I coach high school football. We rarely have concussions in high school football.
But nowadays, you're teaching them differently also. Like you said, you were taught to lead with the helmet. Now, you're not teaching that, right? It's a form tackle.
Right.
You lead with the
you're
shoulder.
Teaching more
you wrap
rugby-type tackling exactly. and things like that, and putting the head across the body, not in tackling with your shoulder. Yeah, you're taught differently. There's no doubt about that.
Stan White, excited to have you part of another great year of Ravens football here on the flagship station of the Baltimore Ravens 98 Rock.
Right,
Stan,
guys.
Thank you for taking the time, sir.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we had the pleasure of getting to interview Mrs. Mittemeyer. What was her name again? It was like Lisa, Kim?
Kate,
yes, thank you.
Kate Mittemeyer.
And she's just a treat. She's fantastic. You'll hear coming up, we asked for her permission to pierce her son's nipple. And you can hear what she said if you missed it, or you know if you did hear it. She makes me think of an idea that I've had before. That Scott, how often do your parents visit? Once or twice a year?
Probably, yes.
Twice a year. Mike, would your parents or I parent have a willingness to join us on air at some point?
My mom would, but I won't allow her.
Fantastic. She'll come up.
She wouldn't. I reached out to her that one time. We were going to do something.
For his birthday, right?
I think it was for your birthday or something. We were going to try and embarrass you with something.
My dad put the kibosh on that, I think.
Well, bring
Smart
his
man.
Ass up
what
here.
What was it? I can't remember. I don't know. We were going to try.
Oh, about the foot massage stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to get her up here for you to massage her feet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she was going to be a surprise entrance into the Mike Anderson foot rubs for Special Olympics.
I mean, she's probably too embarrassed to talk about that on the air, too, I would imagine.
But you used to rub her feet, right?
You know what's funny? I was watching Married with Children the other day, and there was a scene where their son, Buck, was massaging Peggy's feet. And I'm like, is this just more common back in the day?
No, that was just a weird family that did odd sexual stuff to each other. I just think it'd be funny if we could bring up like all the parents on a show at one point. You know, Scott's mom. We could bring up your dad. You know, my dad's got a ton of tales to tell. Josh's sister, if she ever wanted to come up. I know the planets would have to align. But just to have, you know, a Reardon, an Anderson, a Schlegel, and a Spiegel, but not Justin, Mike, Scott, or Josh... That's be funny
yeah.
for a few minutes. I'm not saying do like what you guys did when you rolled the dice back in the day with the that freak show y'all did, which I still to this day think was a genius idea.
I don't even remember that. Kim involved with
it was
that or
Kim,
something?
Kim, yeah, like, it was Packy Rick.
Didn't they all end up like arguing in the
Mikey Papers?
Yeah, we did some cool stuff. It's all a blur. God, how did we do all that?
You did a lot of stuff that these days we get a double middle finger tried.
I forget how talented I am and how what kind of work ethic I have.
Our old PDs used to encourage that. Remember? I mean, it was definitely a different climate and different era.
We'd get drug tested and they'd be mad if we came back clean. They'd just hand us bags of cocaine to do before we got on the show. Well, we got to talk to Paul's mom. Enjoy the sweet, smooth, silky timbre of her voice.
On Behind the Curtain.
Paul,
Bittermeier in here.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and Paul covered a story.
Ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used
to be. Sorry. Do you remember who the player was? I don't remember. But a player apparently, and that's the thing. I see these players with the gold chains on and the earrings in while they're playing.
Eli Manning.
Take all that stuff off. Yeah, Eli Manning earlier this week had his nipple ring.
David Irving. I think it was David Irving.
I believe it was Eli Manning.
I'm going to go with
Eli
Manning.
He had his nipple ring, fake news, ripped out while practicing.
Yes.
Ow. And then we thought about, our nipple. I remember my buddy, Tom. I don't know if I don't think he still has it. He can't still have it. But in college, he got his nipple pierced.
Just one?
Just one. And
barbell
we're like,
or who?
And we were all like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
why do you think he still doesn't have it? He probably still has it.
Nah, he's a grown man now. He's married. He's got a whole bunch of kids. I think he took it out a while back. But the ladies loved it. It was like a thing. It was Yes! And I was like, well, part of it was he was in really good shape. So I guess to like show it, you had to lift up your shirt.
Oh,
that might
have
been a whole ploy to like be able to like do that.
So you lift up the shirt to reveal the nipple ring. But on the way to the reveal, you see abs.
Kind of douchey.
Wow, he's not a douche. I don't know. It was just, I don't know.
Stace, you get a gentleman, you lift the shirt up, and you see staring in front of you a couple of nipple rings. Are you like, lock the door or get your keys and leave?
I walk away. Depends who he is. I mean,
see, she's not completely saying no. There's something to it.
How nice are these abs?
See?
Mike's abs.
So then we happened upon Paul here, and we were like, Paul, we got a great idea. We got to pierce your nipple. And then Paul said, why can't you do it?
All right, so growing up,
no.
You're in that stage when you're like between 18 and 20.
Take us back.
You know, you get your ear pierced. I got my ear pierced.
Yeah, I had a couple of earrings.
It was funny because my buddy was a Marine, and he came home, and I got my ear pierced. He's like, dude, who shot you in the ear with a BB? And I'm like, no, I got my ear pierced. He didn't realize I got my ear pierced, and he kind of thought that was, not cool, right? Because he was a Marine. I took it out, and I had given my mother a thing for her birthday. It said, it was like a card. It said, I owe you one favor. And she handed me the card back and said, don't ever pierce anything on your body ever again as long as I live.
So that was it.
She cashed in the favor.
IOU.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What if she had handed you the note that said, don't ever lose a leg?
See, I wish you would have, right? That would have been great.
Botched that promise.
So 30 years later, this IOU is still going strong.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I don't know about that.
Come on.
I don't know about that.
So, I mean, you're a grown man now.
You're probably.
When you make a promise,
okay.
Stacey Lynn, when you make a promise to your mother.
We got her on the phone, which we do. We have her. She's going to be like, forget that stupid IOU.
Yes, I'm with Scott.
And you have her on the phone joining us.
My son's a man of his word. That's what he's going to do.
There she is.
Kate
Mittermeier joining us on the phone. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great.
Hey, this is a step down for her. She's a TV star, so,
Can we pierce your son's nipple?
No, you cannot.
Come on.
That's a big fat no.
That's a no.
It's 2017.
No.
No. I don't care if it's 2070. You're still not going to pierce your nipple.
Ask if we can pierce hers.
Why don't we pierce your nipple?
They already pierced. All of us are already pierced head to toe. We just wanted to bring him into the fold. Do you remember that moment where you gave him the slip of paper?
I certainly do.
What made you go with that?
What's wrong with the earring? Why are you so opposed to that?
I think that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
A man with a pierced ear? No, thank you.
You're old school, huh, Kate?
Well, I don't know what I am, but I didn't want it for my son.
Well, what did you think, Kate, back in the 80s when Paul was a little rebellious and grew his hair long?
That didn't bother me too much.
No.
What really bothered her was me rolling in at like 7 in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about that butterfly tattoo on his ankle?
Yeah, what do you think about the butterfly tattoo he has?
There's no butterfly tattoo on his ankle.
She knows that because she's got a 1-in-2 shot because there's no butterfly tattoo on the prosthesis.
Are you? Let me ask you this, Kate. Back in the day when Paul had his accident, right? And, we all know the leg accident. And what was your mindset back then? Were you worried about Paul and his future, or did you know that Paul would be okay?
Tell you the truth, I was a basket case.
Well, of course.
But I mean, when they came and told me he lost his leg, I almost passed out.
But did you
know? My son, I knew he'd get through it. I knew he would.
Yeah, that's and the kind of guy Paul is. Justin
never
and I
felt
like
sorry for, never felt sorry for himself.
Yeah.
Just went about his life and turned out okay as far as I'm concerned.
You're very proud. Are you proud of your son, Paul?
Oh, very proud of my son.
Nice. Oh, God, I'm going
to
cry.
Because to Scott's point, if this happens to me or, like, Justin, I don't know how I'm reacting.
I die on sight.
You want to hear a creepy story?
I may
have
a tough time with
it. Want to hear a creepy story?
Oh, yeah, take it away.
All right, so, and she'll verify this. So I get hurt in the morning.
She had that feeling.
My grandmother. Mm-hmm. No, my grandmother
called. Don't let Paul go to the docks.
My grandmother called my dad.
I got a premonition.
Yeah. And said, something. What happened to Paul?
See?
What happened?
Oh, she felt the energies of the universe.
She knew.
Wow.
We have a little history of that in my family.
That happened to my brother. My brother was in a very bad car accident, and my mom was at the butcher, and she heard the sirens, and she said, something happened to one of my kids. She knew it.
Wild.
And then she's driving home, and she pulls up and sees the car accident. She's like, I knew.
Crazy stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Kate Mittermeier.
Yeah, it does happen. It does happen.
Paul Mittermeier's mother, beautiful Kate, joining us on the program. How cute of a two-part question here. How cute of an infant was Paul, and when did that all change?
Yeah. When did he start to get up?
He was a chubby little thing when he was little.
Big fat ass on him. Big old bubble butt. Bubble butt Paul. That's what we call
him
right
here.
He was
bubble, a bubble butt when he was little.
Yeah.
Now, Paul has you have a sister, right?
Yes, I do.
So
yes.
It's just the two of you, and your sister?
That's
who do you like better, Mom, him or his sister?
Oh, come on. You don't ask that kind of a question.
Tell the truth.
Who do you like
tell
better,
the truth.
Your mother or your father?
No, tell the truth.
Paul's
come on.
Saying
it's okay.
Paul's saying it's him.
She's amazing.
But bringing this back around to the nipple ring, if he did get pierced, would you be less proud of him?
I wouldn't be less proud of him, but I'd be disappointed.
Oh,
disappointed.
That's the worst.
There it is.
Would you not talk to him?
Oh, I would talk to him. Of course I would.
What was the worst thing he did as a youth, as a teenager? Like, you can remember a time grounding him or, he got in big, big trouble. What did he do?
Oh, I remember one time the police brought him home.
Whoa!
That was partially his buddy's fault.
Oh,
his buddy and him got into some sort of a fight, and his buddy took off and left him standing there by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So the cops picked him up and brought him home.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very nice, the cops, and, nothing happened.
We brought you one-legged
nice.
Son home.
No, I had two legs back then.
With his nipple ring. We brought you nipple-ringed, one-legged son home.
It was between that and the time I flipped off the back of my buddy's car and broke my collarbone.
Oh, my God.
And went home and didn't tell anybody for the whole rest of the night and finally woke up in the morning and was like, yeah, I probably need to, tell somebody about this.
Yeah.
Just he's like stuff. That. He don't tell us anything. I'm surprised he told me I was going to be on the radio this morning. Well, it wasn't a surprise.
What member of the family sounds most like Paul? Because he has a very distinct timbre to his voice. Some would say Kermit-ish.
Yeah, what's up with his voice? Why is his voice so high-pitched?
Because of his dad.
It's his dad? You get that from me? Does your dad have...
You're going to blame him for that. Okay.
What do you think about your granddaughter? Isn't she beautiful? Are you amazed that Paul
gorgeous.
Made such a beautiful child?
Oh,
because...
she is. She's a beautiful girl.
Isn't she amazing?
Considering the way he looks, she's
yes.
gorgeous.
Yes.
She is.
Unbelievable.
Considering your son is... just a disaster.
Well, have you seen Nan? She's a beautiful girl.
She is. What do you think about Paul playing softball? You think...
it drives me crazy.
Me too.
Me too.
I tell him every time he's in here, knock it off. I know what I'm talking about. People could, and then the people will come at me, Mom, Kate Mittermeier.
Can we
call
you Mom?
They'll come at me sideways. They'll be like, why don't you shut up? You let Paul do it. And it's like, no. He needs to knock it off, right?
He
got
does.
His nipple
he
pierced
does.
With a softball. Did you see that wound on his chest?
I know what I'm talking
just
about.
The other day, I was really, really upset. Really upset.
He's hurt his thumb, right? He's got a hurt thumb. He had a giant bruise on his breast.
Got erectile dysfunction.
Where he got nailed with a softball. His good knee is all taped up. Now, let's not talk about the other leg that's missing. He's only got one good leg.
Much
that one's
that
all
haircut.
Taped up. It's like, Paul, knock it off, right, Mom?
Well, I can't make him do what he doesn't want to do.
Even your mom wants you to stop.
I do. I do want him to stop. I think he's played long enough.
It's a good thing I didn't hand her that IOU. I will never play softball again, you know?
God bless you, Kate Mittermeier. You did a hell of a job raising a hell of a young man.
and we will not pierce his nipple in accordance with the promise that was made years ago. Thank you so much. She didn't say anything about piercing that penis.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Comedian Ali Sadiq joined us yesterday, and we're going to get behind the curtain. I'll get behind the curtain with station show practices here. And I told Ali this, and I think this is the first comic I told to their face about something we do. We'll get comics in here. And we recently we've been more selective about who's come through. We'd rather have a quality over quantity. If we know we're going to get a couple of bums in here, we'll just promote their appearance, move on, and do a quality show. If we know we got a couple of heavy hitters, we'll go ahead and write their names down. Coming up next week, Lunell, Big J. Okerson, two awesome comedians are definitely coming up. But if there's like an unknown, someone that we're kind of like, we're right around the fringes of understanding, we have a book that we write down grades in. This person was a B-. This person, great with sports, not with funny. This person, terrible, didn't say anything, never again. And no one that ever comes up here knows that until Ali Sadiq came up. And I told him to his face, you laid it down so hard with such good stories, with such a perfect timbre to your voice, alliteration, enunciation. You just, he's a guy when you hear speak, you want to hear him speak more. I told him, in the book of comics, you are an A+.
Yeah, and there's also like an ease to which he did it that was just kind of, you know, it wasn't forced. Sometimes these guys got to try to like, if we're talking about something, they need to kind of figure out a way to shoehorn themselves into it. Mm-hmm. He was in it. Like no matter what we were talking about, he was in it and able to do it. And it didn't kind of disrupt us in any way, shape, or form. It didn't knock us off kilter.
No, the guy, he hung, and by the way, he's one of the few comics that we've ever had hang out an extra hour. Because usually we'll tell them at 9 o'clock, they're just jumping out of their chair to get out of here and get some sleep. And he's like, I thought I was here till 10. I've been preparing and working on stuff. By the way, in the same clothes that he flew overnight in to get here. So the guy is a professional to begin with. A great comic on top of that. And he stuck around till 10 because he just added, like you said, so much. He didn't try and interject and shoehorn his way in somewhere or it didn't belong. He took part in wherever the conversation went, from drug use to Uber stuff to kidnapping children with certain types of candy. If there was a topic that we had, he snugly fit into all of it, and he was great, and he's in McGoobies tonight, so go check him out. I think we're going to play a couple of clips from him, if I'm not mistaken. Here's Ali Sadiq. He joined us yesterday. Join him tonight in McGoobies. It's Behind the Curtain.
About sketchy Uber drivers. You had the story about the guy in North Carolina.
Yeah. Let me find this again real quick. There was this North Carolina Uber driver warning for passengers after North Carolina woman attacked by a man impersonating an Uber driver. And he just has that sticker on his window. That's it. He's not even a real Uber driver.
Well, I got the text here that says you can buy Uber and Lyft stickers on eBay.
Wow.
You can buy a whole roll of them.
That's troubling.
Right. I mean, we're joking here and we're saying like, hey, the whole kidnapping game, abduction game just got a whole lot easier. But it's fact. Like you said, if you know when the bars let out, mm-hmm. when last call is, you slap one of them stickers on your car, you go cruising through, you see someone stumbling around.
Missing.
Mm-hmm. And you just pull up and be like, hey.
Honestly, we're going to probably get out of here and head back to my house if anybody wants to get in the car with me.
Did you guys get a ride?
Anybody called Uber?
Hop in the back.
Are you my driver?
Sure.
Sure.
I am now.
You got it. Next destination, the Love Shed.
Dude,
sketchy.
I'm surprised we don't hear more of it, especially like considering these stickers are available. Because like I said, if you're an actual legit Uber driver, if you go through the whole process, you sign up and you get your sticker, you're on the grid, man. They know you. They've got all your info, right? So you can't, if you do something, yeah, somebody might get hurt, but they're going to catch you. Sure. But if you just buy one of these stickers off the internet and slap it on your car.
Ali, I got some audio here. You want to hear this of a Mike, set the audio up about the Uber driver. Who is this again?
This is the girl that wouldn't get out of the car, right?
Yeah. This is more on her than I think the driver. But yeah, you can tell she's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah, she wouldn't get out.
If you get kidnapped by Uber, you deserve it. Because don't they supposed to say your name?
Well, that's like what he said, though. If the girl's wasted and she's like, or the guy's wasted and stumbling out of a bar and you're just not even paying attention.
Even if I'm drunk and somebody go up, did you call the Uber? I don't think you're supposed to call Uber. I think you're supposed. It's an app. I know. I
do. Right. Yeah. We just did an update to it.
It's so sketchy to get kidnapped by Uber.
Here, give a listen to this.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because you won't get out of my car. Yeah,
but you're not to yell at me.
Get out of my car.
Where is my destination?
Get out of my car.
Sir, can you just tell
get
me?
Get out of my god car.
Wow.
Now. The ride is over. You have been extremely rude, extremely condescending.
How
this whole
have
trip.
I been extremely rude?
You kept me waiting way too long. You showed up and told me you were in a hurry when you showed no actual effort to be in a hurry. Get out of my car now.
I am just
get out of
you.
My car now.
I don't know where I am.
Get out of my car now. God you to hell.
That is a man at his end.
Oh,
that's real. Oh, there's
that is
footage.
A man
full on
losing his ass.
He was so mad.
Oh, so mad. He could not have been any madder at that moment. He was at this peak.
How many people genuinely grunted, God, you to hell? But Ollie, one of the reasons we want to talk to you about this, you're a man who plies his trade and travel.
Man.
You travel from the airport to the hotel. Sometimes if the club is nice enough, they have a driver. They'll send a car for you. Other times, man, you got to get where you got to go on your own volition. You ever dealt with anything like this?
My Uber experience is mostly about smell. It's like I've been in some Ubers. I'm like, this cannot be a sanctioned Uber call. It cannot be. Sir, I'm about to write something in. As we speak, and I'm commenting as I'm in the car.
I don't see the problem.
And I've been in the Uber car on IG Live, like, yo, somebody just call, do something. Just
call the authority. Call
hey,
the Uber
sir,
police.
Can you roll down all the windows? I know that it's cold outside, but I need all the windows.
Now, what kind of smell are we talking about? Is it like
no, man, it's like body stench. But like, worst. You know how, how somebody car just it just smells like they've been here
they've
for
been
a
in
while.
There,
like,
yes.
Yeah, you've had this car since like 87.
Yeah.
It's I don't even know why.
And it smells worse if it's a cloth seat. Seems to really retain some of that body just, gravy.
I don't know what the deal be, man. Like, I know people smell that. I know you smell yourself.
That's the thing. Like, you become so nose blind to your own smell that maybe you don't smell it.
Well, yes. Well, he drove in a car. Scott was, and they won't say who, but you told a story recently of being in someone's car from around here that it smelled like a septic tank on wheels, but they'd driven it for so long, they went completely blind to it. Smell blind.
But do you think it's the driver that smells, yeah. Or it's the years of customers that leave their stink?
It's not
the actual
it's the driver.
Driver.
Uber
it's
hasn't
the driver.
Been around that long. Right. They have years of stink.
Well, right. they have their cars. I'm saying that these
cab
people
driver,
have cars for
a cab
a while.
Driver car might be a little bit of both.
I give Uber a cab driver like you've had years of stink because this is not your actual car.
Yeah.
But Uber is your actual vehicle.
Right.
So you're not
driver,
taking care of this car.
Driver's thing. Like, if I see the wood beads on a driver's seat, like, I know this car is definitely about to stink. This car is going to be rotten chicken tikka masala, and I'm breathing through my mouth for the next 8 miles.
If I see that you have air bubbles in your tent in any of the windows, I just think, like, yeah, this is going to be bad.
How do you not know you smell? I don't get that. We've talked. I mean, there's people.
You're
there's
sitting
people
across from
here.
One. You're sitting across from one.
Like
I had no idea
like
years ago that I did stunk because I didn't believe in using deodorant. I just thought I had a naturally pleasant waft about
he had
myself.
A must. It wasn't a. It was a. It was
did
a,
you did you intervene?
It was an earthen must. Some people would describe it as effeminate lumberjack. Turns out it was just hot cat turd. And Scott was like
earthen.
It was an earthen musk, like warm tree bark. Turns out just straight cat litter. And he's like, please start using some of this Old Spice. And ever since then, I'm just as fresh as a daisy.
Wow.
Earth?
I honestly, it was up until 2.5 years ago, I had never used deodorant.
Are you until, serious?
I'm dead serious.
Why?
Dead serious. I just never used it. It was just never a thing. I've been told by multiple lovers that I don't have a waft about me.
Right.
But Scott,
I don't use deodorant, so I'm just in there laughing because it's.
You don't use deodorant?
Not at all. I haven't used deodorant in 10 years.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
May I come smell you?
Yes, at all times.
I'm coming around.
I let people definitely smell me because I'm like, yo, never.
You shower today?
How often you shower, though?
Yeah, did you shower today?
Oh, my God, he smells nice.
But did you just shower before you came in here?
Mm-mm.
No?
You smell incredible.
I have on everything I wore to the airport yesterday.
So that's after being in an airport overnight, and you're bringing that level of fragrance.
And I miss. You run real cool.
You run hot or you run cool? Some people just run cool.
It's like,
he generates, like Justin generates a lot of heat.
Lot
he
of
runs
heat.
Hot.
I'm wet right now. Drippy.
Y'all like
runs hot.
Like, I just don't. And like my friend, I was like, he was just complaining about deodorant. Deodorant did. I said, man, how long have you been around me? He's like, man, for like ever. I say, I don't wear deodorant. And he couldn't believe it. He's like, you
they
always
say
smell
also
good.
That you like your body will like reacclimate itself if you don't use it. I don't know.
I read that it had aluminum in it, and yes. I 10 years ago, and I stopped.
That's the best.
And I was like, I'm done.
The reason people don't use the antiperspirant.
Let's go to the phones, 410-338-1098. You ever had yourself a
totally baffled by this.
Sketchy-ass Uber driver. Let's talk to Greg Edgewood. Greg, good morning.
Morning, guys.
What's up, Greg?
Oh, not much. Had a sketchy Uber driver a couple weeks back. Me and two of my buddies were heading to a bar in Rosedale from Parkville, and the guy didn't have like a dash-mounted thing for his GPS. So he drove from Parkville to Rosedale with the phone 2 inches from his face, not paying attention to the road, not doing the speed limits, yes. Tried to stop in the middle of 702, cutting lanes. I thought I was going to have to kick him out of the car and drive myself to the bar.
Yes.
Damn.
I say this all the time. And somebody told me that if you maybe go up a level on the Uber, because you can select the different level cars, you get a more professional driver.
Uber
but the lowest
black.
Level driver is just some dude. And you don't know what his capabilities behind the wheel are. If you're getting in a stinky cab with the beaded seat and you know it's going to be, you know, fit-throwing hell ride, but at least the guy does it for a living. You know what I mean? You feel like you're in a little bit more capable hands.
Kareem does
you're
it for a living.
You're getting a guy that tries to stop in the middle of 702. You're like, what are you doing?
Why are you stopping asking for directions
you're stopping
right
on like a highway.
Here's the other angle to it. Tell me you haven't had the dude that when you sit in the back seat, to your left, small basket, waters, a little bit of fresh fruit, Nature Valley bar, to
Winter
the
Green
right.
Mints, yeah.
You want to check out my mixtape? This is my spot. Listen, I'm selling these for $5. It's kind of like a Indu EDM meets like KRS-One with a little bit of Sugar Ray. I do this in my basement. What do you think of that? Is that a jam or what? You get the dude with the mixtape. They try and peddle you their wares. I had a dude try and sell me a mix CD in an Uber once.
But he gave you water in Nature Valley Bars.
It was Fiji.
This
dude was playing Pakistani hip-hop to me. And admittedly, I was like, this is kind of a jam. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, because I felt like he was going to let me go unless I picked it up. That thing is now a drink coaster on my coffee table. Let's go to Blind Mike. Blind Mike, line one, talking about deaf Uber drivers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I have had two experiences with deaf Uber drivers.
What? And you're a blind guy?
And I'm a blind guy.
What's going on here?
With a mute dispatcher?
Like seriously, I had the one guy, I was trying to tell him where I was going, and he kept turning around to look at my lips so he could see what I was saying to him.
Wow.
The second one, I was down in Fells Point, and I had texted the guy to tell him where I was, but he couldn't find me. So here I am standing on the street corner, and two car lengths down, and I'm not being disrespectful to anybody, but this guy, all I hear coming out of the street is,
oh, my God.
Because he was trying to give me directions on where to find him.
Oh, right.
Ah, I get it.
That's my car now. God, you to hell.
Let's go to, this has to happen more than often. Herman. Great name.
Yeah.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are you?
What's up, Herman?
What's up, Herman?
Good. This happened to my wife. She was taking an Uber to the airport at BWI, and the guy didn't say one word the whole time there. Until he was about to drop her off and then asked her out on a date.
Whoa.
Wow.
Not that's cool, creep man. Level like 10.
Which,
right
by the
there.
Way,
not one word and then out of nowhere asks her out.
Hey, you guys want to go to Red Lobster this weekend?
I'm telling you, man.
It's Lobster Fest.
I think there's people that are doing it for the money, right, obviously, but then I think there's people that have, like, you know, agendas.
Oh, yeah, people that are like,
ulterior motives.
I want to meet people.
100%.
Because the sketchiest Uber driver I ever had was my cousin.
What's your
that That was the sketchiest Uber driver I ever had.
And you, Ali, have the floor.
It was like he was so sketchy. Like, I pushed the thing, and I wasn't paying. I just, you know, I want an Uber. So then I pull up. I'm like, I recognize this car. And my cousin's looking at me like, where you going, boy? When you start driving Uber, man, I got laid off. I ain't said nothing. That's hilarious. How I found out my cousin that got laid off. He was driving Uber, and he was.
Did he charge you? Did he just cancel the ride?
My cousin charged me.
Cancel the ride? Just take
out.
You?
No, he was like, man. And then what's funny is he gonna say my name like he ain't know me. Right. Goes, what's up, boy?
Are you Ali
Sadiq?
Yes. Are you Ali Sadiq?
I say, hey, man, stop it, dog. And it was weird.